This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh my God, there's so many buttons to still push. Why is it? I feel like I'm very, very quiet to me here. I don't know why it is. But hi, everybody. Welcome in just a couple minutes after the hour. We are live in studio. Meow, Cal, Anant, and of course, Missy Al and myself in the chat rooms. Joining us, for those of you watching on our...
Oh my God, they're watching?
Of course they are.
Oh, that's right.
On our live video stream, because we're now on YouTube, buddy. We're right on YouTube.
We're on the YouTubes.
We are. We're
fancy. I forgot
fancy.
About people watching, and I'm stuffing myself.
It's quite a... We do it every week here. It doesn't really fucking matter. For those of you wondering who's sitting in Kat Carlson's chair, she is out. Well, potentially she'll be here later on this evening, but she's in a meeting for our local Pride, which comes up in April. So Buddy Early has graced us with his presence and his pizza. How you doing over there, bud?
I am doing great now that I have some food in me for the first time all day.
Oh.
You can hear me fine, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. We're good. Now, if you need to, headphone adjustment volumes are over there. If you need
know
to.
I don't know anything about that garbage.
It's a knob.
It's a knob. You turn a knob. And if it's not loud enough for you, you'll figure it out, I'm sure. Anywho, we have managed to get it together for the second week in a row. We had some technical issues, buddy, earlier in the year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you want to speak in the side of the mic?
Oh, that's why.
It's okay. Look at that. So many advancements since you have been here.
I was looking for one of those Bob Barker, like, no. 3 feet right. long.
The Gene Rayburn.
The Gene Rayburn.
Gene Rayburn Memorial.
Match game 79.
Yeah. I actually watched, I may have even taped it. Because I got a commercial came on, and I got offended. But I watched the new match game with Alec Baldwin. I was lightly amused.
I was too. I thought it was fun. Yeah. Well, but to me, at least the episode that I saw, I mean, Rick Fox is so fucking gorgeous. I don't give a shit. He could just
Still?
Sit there. Oh my God, Rick Fox.
Okay, I haven't seen him in several years.
Vanessa Williams' ex-husband.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I didn't know who he was, but I knew I liked him.
Yeah, he's a fine looking man.
Figure out who the fuck he is.
Yeah, I follow him on the Twitter and the Instagrams. You got to keep up with him. You forget what a valuable tool things like that are for all kinds of.
Thankfully, we have you to remind us.
Oh, there's always something there to remind you, buddy. Oh. My God.
No, I have been a longtime fan of Rick Fox, so. Mm-hmm. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, and it was funny because I just saw a
Both
commercial
as an athlete.
Where he gave like a kind of dirty answer to something, and I'm like, oh, I'm intrigued. But it just happened to be on Wednesday after Black-ish.
Yeah.
And I was home on Wednesday, and I didn't realize I was watching Black-ish live, and then it went into the next show, and it didn't end.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, right.
I was fast-forwarding through it, but I had caught up to the ending, and all of a sudden it started, and I'm like, what's going on?
What's going here? She doesn't look
and
like Brent Summers at all.
And then the first commercial started, and I'm like, oh, God damn it. Oh, and I hit record, so I didn't... I only saw the first little part, but I
You've got the rest of it to
Double entendre,
explore.
You know, all the things are still
there.
Oh,
I was furious the other night. I was watching a repeat of Law & Order SVU for probably the 10th time, and didn't realize that I was caught up, and a commercial came, and I'm like, damn it! Damn it, why can't I fast forward?
I'm in a time machine in a land where they can't get through commercials.
I figured out that when I watched Rachel Maddow, because her first segment is usually 17 to 19 minutes, if I let her roll to the first commercial break and then I start watching, I time out at the end perfectly because then I can skip all the commercials. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I happen to be home to watch it. Usually I watch it at 11 or 12 at night. She's already been on. But it's nice when you can time that like that. But I'm so used, like you all. We're all spoiled to be able to skip the old commercials.
I don't care if I'm home at 8 o'clock and whatever is starting. I will find something to do for about 16 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to assure that I don't have to watch the commercials.
Exactly. I totally get
but
you.
But then I'll pause and go to the bathroom anyways. Like, just there's something to do in that time.
Oh, yeah. There's always something to do. There's laundry. There's... papers to read, bills to pay, so many different things. Yes, Marnie is on her way. She texted me 5 minutes before the top of the hour saying that she was leaving in 5, so she'll be here in about 5 at some point, I'm sure. The chat room has already... they're already bringing up the topic that you just cannot escape anymore.
This is why I was actually hesitant to come here.
Oh, it's
because I'm like
the whole reason
I haven't
you're
turned
here.
On the news since election. I think I've watched about 10 minutes of CNN in the last 2 months.
The only reason you're here is for the Oscars.
And no, and that's when I decided. I'm like, oh my God, Al and I have to discuss the Oscars.
Very important. Day.
Obviously, I have to go.
Trump could do whatever he wants. Today.
Right. Just
I'm not
don't fuck
attention.
With the Oscars. It's not going to happen. That's true. Oh, and possibly last. Well, you never know. There's just so many things. Oh, my heavens.
It could happen. And I did afternoon drinking today. I went
you did?
To them. Yeah. I had
a support group for two other ladies and you.
Yeah,
because
we had to go. We had to be to work early for, you know.
Oh, you worked earlier
learning.
Today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For learning and teaching and showing and stuff.
Oh, my. Wishing and hoping. And
yeah.
Praying.
Drinking.
And yeah, drinking and wishing. And just, I was like, it's 12:30, it's noon 30, how about some lunch? And then I realized Postino has a delicious bottle of white on their menu for $5 between open and 5.
Are you trying to get Postino to send us like a case of wine?
That would be terrific, because I went last night, enjoyed the glass of wine so much, the first thing I thought was, fuck,
let's
I say,
continue on.
I paid full price last night, I'm going back today and getting my money back.
Oh, there you go.
So we had a little white, a little red, a little... bottle of rosé.
Billy Joeling your way through that.
You beat me to my mouth was full of pepperoni.
So I like, because sometimes I don't agree with their wine choices,
their
and then
pairing.
I have to go find other wine. Now they just kind of stick to a, for 3 or 4 months they stick to a set menu of their wines by the glass. And sometimes I don't enjoy their choices, and sometimes, like this time, I'm there every day that I.
I think that's why I don't care for that place as much. Only primarily because I am not a whiny.
Right, and, right. So you're not going to.
No, but I am a big fan of their bruschetta.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, there's not really much there I need to eat. I found
bruschetta or bruschetta.
It should be bruschetta.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'm kidding. I set you up for that.
Yeah,
Bobby
Early
is back on the. On the gang here.
After I was being shitty with somebody about espresso and pronouncing that correctly, I got bruschetta.
Well,
bruschetta, however you say
you
that.
You got pronunciation shamed?
Yeah. Because espresso drives me fucking nuts.
Oh, I do.
I mean, because that's just flat out wrong. But when people are like, oh, the mozzarella sticks. Give me mozzarella sticks.
Because
like,
that is just flat wrong. I like how you're just...
The
that's very definitive. That is wrong. But anybody else's idea
of
how...
No, but espresso is not even close.
I know, but just the way that you said that, it was like... I felt like you were doing a press conference on Sunday about the size of an inauguration crowd. That is just it. It's espresso, period.
Period. Yes.
There's no X, but I love... And I thought we put the issue to bed 20 years ago with Absolutely Fabulous, when the mom asked for an espresso, and she's like, yes, I am in a bit of a hurry. There's no X. Where did you find an X?
Well, the other ones, and it, again, drives me equally as crazy, when they do especially... It's not
I could go on for days.
Oh,
about
of course,
Pacific. Supposedly.
Yeah, that's.
My mom says supposedly sometimes, and she knows it's wrong.
But does she just do it to goad you?
No, she knows it's wrong, but it's just how she says it because maybe she's used to saying that. Or God, thank God she's not listening to this show.
Neither is anybody else.
Show, yeah.
But I think she. I think when people say things like supposedly, it's kind of a laziness. You know.
Oh, okay.
Because it's easier to say supposedly.
You're just kind of much. A friend of mine used to say slippy, like the roads are slippy today.
Oh, I've
and
never heard that.
The funny thing is like when I encounter something like a floor, I still say slippy because I think it was so funny that she didn't know it was wrong.
So you say it kind of in a joking manner.
Yeah.
She's like, oh.
So I'm waiting for someone to be like, that asshole thinks slippy's a word.
Buddy, if you'll point your attention to one of our lovely chat rooms, see the Tryweiler has found you.
I can see.
Jacob has found you.
Yes. Last night, apparently, I was stalking him in North Phoenix. Now he's stalking me.
Yeah.
And Meow Cal, you are correct. I got bored earlier today and just decided to shave everything. I do not like the way I look without facial hair, but I did it just because I was... It's bored. It grows back in about, well, by midnight tonight. It'll pretty much be back.
She's got 5 o'clock shadow at 9 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a problem. I'm
gonna Harvey Firestein my way through this whole thing, but no. Anywho, that's what it is. But thanks for noticing. Oh my heavens! What else is going on?
I have a face.
Oh, it feels so weird. Yes. my heavens.
We all just take a sip of our beverage. Mm-hmm. I got a Kathy Lee and Hoda my way through this minute. Hold on.
Sure. At least we have the Bush daughters here to help us. That's fine too. I'm okay with that. I need to check something.
I'm getting on the Bush sisters page though.
You are. Oh, yeah?
I'm starting to not like them.
That's what I needed.
What?
That hum is gone.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was.
You were giving him a hummer.
Oh, I was. No, I thought it was like a pitch thing. You know, oh. Like come on, buddy. Mm.
Do you know the words? No. There was a
acapella,
hum.
Acapella.
I fixed it. We're good. Everything's better now.
Is it really?
Oh, sure. Okay. Mucho batero.
So. I'll take your word for it.
Now, buddy, you made me laugh. Was it this morning? What's today? Today. No, it was
just pick a day.
Sunday. Monday morning I woke up. It made me laugh because I didn't realize.
Just that once.
When I ran into you on Sunday evening, late Sunday evening, I didn't realize that you had posted something.
Mm-hmm.
We were I ran into him at Charlie's and we were talking about something and honestly I don't. Oh no, I do know why. It was the story about Maggie and Marty and Maggie Brock and Marty Manning from KEZ, the whole thing. And I made a joke about oatmeal and
But how did we talk about oatmeal and Tang?
I don't know.
You brought up Tang. Or one of us did.
I don't. Yeah, somebody did.
And then maybe I said I have to have oatmeal every morning to be regular. I don't know.
Something like that. And anyway, we came up with the morning show, Oatmeal and Tang.
I like it.
On
WTLK. And it just
when it becomes an action movie, they might Kurt Russell, Sylvester Stallone. Oatmeal and Tang.
Oatmeal and Tang. Mornings. That's what I felt like we should have had some sort of a sounder that was that.
But I feel like
keeping you regular in the morning.
I feel like Oatmeal and Tang are actually like hand puppets.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be
for the radio. Hand puppets for the radio. That's really
good. That's almost what this show is. But almost
hand puppets for the radio.
It's like reading porn to the blind.
And then she lifted her hind leg. I don't have a hind leg.
Well, she lifted it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Does
my
the fun
God.
Ever start?
No, never. Mm. No. About 10:30 when this is over. Pretty much. That's how we get through all of it.
I'm on glass of wine number 4.
Oh.
Trying to sober up with just a handful of peanuts.
Why would you so? Why? And you've got your little, what are those things called? The little...
They're called...
Oranges, but are they called Halos?
Cheeria Halos, or they have another name, too, like Sweet Cuties.
Oh.
Cuties.
Yeah.
And I just want to punch people in the
Slippies.
Face when they call them cuties.
They're Slippies.
Oh, do I need to be using a coaster?
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh.
You can.
I'm going to.
Yeah. I mean, we are a fancy show.
Clearly.
You,
here's your one chance.
What did I just see that in? Are you one of those coaster people?
Yeah, we must have seen the same thing, because it's striking me as familiar.
Something.
Maybe it was Rogue One.
So
I think they.
Yes,
they really,
it was.
Coasters
we've
was
all
a
seen
big,
about coasters, coasters at RCC2. Yeah.
Right, yes.
Whether or not he was going to use them. What's the gay bot's name? Oh, C-3PO. Oh. Is he in the.
Just because he's gold and kind of British.
And he has a really strong case of OCD. He needs to be diagnosed and treated.
Could be. Could be Father Mulcahy
as
C-3PO.
So what'd you do this week?
What have you been doing since we last saw you?
Well, since we're both avoiding the news, what are you filling your time with?
Well, I managed to fill in Marnie and Clayton to some degree on the goings-on with me, but I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
And looking for work. And so I've been Ubering to make some extra cash, which is what I was doing today.
Oh, very good.
It's interesting. It's not something I want to do. But yeah, I'm kind of having a hard time with my job search. I have a recruiter kind of working for me, and nothing yet, but, you know.
And
so, hey!
Marnie Ryer, ladies
She's
and gentlemen.
Double fisting it.
Really?
Speaking of puppet shows.
It's been your entire life with a hand up your ass.
Yeah.
There's that.
But yeah, so I've been kind of taking it. It's almost like a vacation, but a vacation when you can't afford to do anything.
Yeah.
Well, it's called a staycation.
So, if Jacob is still listening, the reason I was up in his area last night, up in his area.
Yeah.
Why are you all up in my area?
Was
hey?
It a recently shaved area?
I was all up in Jacob's area to see 20th Century Women last night, which was one of the last remaining. I thought one of the last remaining movies I needed to see before the nominations, although it didn't get any. It got a screenplay nod.
Yeah.
But I saw it nonetheless, and I really enjoyed it. And we'll get it. I'm sure we'll talk much more about the nominations at some point tonight.
Coming up in an entire segment we call entertainment.
An entire segment, you say. I say 2.5 hours of me and Al talking about the Oscars.
Well, if Kat shows up, we've got her segment to deal with as well.
On the Oscars?
No.
Just
two things.
Okay.
So it's called. It's all good.
you'll hear it. You'll know.
So, anywho, are you looking for work different than your norm? What are you trying to do?
You're kind of like the Chandler Bing of the group. What do you do?
Right.
Oh, that is that's a good call. Something about editing.
You're kind of like the Chandler Bong.
Not what I had been doing for the last 5 years.
Important.
I mean, you know me as having been an editor and a journalist.
I thought
for
you were still
time.
Proofing financials, though.
Yeah, but proofing is. A strong word.
Okay.
Because the proofreading was part of the job description, which is how I got into it. It was a recruiter had said, hey, here's a job as a legal proofreader. You were an editor. I'm like, yeah. But
sounds perfectly legitimate.
Really, it was highly technical.
Was a thesaurus involved in your job?
I was formatting giant documents. Proofreading, not so much for grammatical errors. Like, we're not allowed to change anything without permission.
Well,
so
if I saw,
well, no, it's text and math.
Oh, okay.
It's like a lot of, like, it could be several hundred pages of, you know, just garbage and then financial tables. And if I saw supposedly, I could.
Oh my God! I almost had.
I could not change that without permission.
Sure.
So it's to say I was proofreading. I was proofreading other.
You
people's
need some
work.
Express consent.
I was proofreading their work on formatting the documents, and I was doing some of that.
All right.
As well. So yeah, it was financial printing is what I was. What I was doing, but my background is mostly in communications, editing, copywriting kind of thing.
Your appearance on the show, however, does not hold up your pedigree in communications well at all.
No.
You're supposedly pedigree. All that happy horse shit. Yes. Oh, Jacob, your secret love affair is no longer secret.
Dirty, dirty.
Was it ever?
All up in your
I'm
area.
An open book.
So, but you didn't say, are you trying to change what you're doing? Do you care? Do you have
it's not like I'm coming from a field that's, you know, huge. There are a lot of opportunities. I mean, my company that I just left is one of the few companies that does that kind of work.
Okay.
And I left because I wasn't happy doing it.
Sure.
Do I want to go back into journalism per se? No. But do I want to utilize, you know, what I consider to be my, you know, greatest skill set in communications, written and verbal management kind of thing. Those skills are what I'm looking to utilize in whatever that may be.
Okay, so it's open.
So I'm driving Uber.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well have a theater degree, to
and
be
now,
honest with
exactly.
you.
It's fantastic. The Alfred Perkins Theater Troupe is, you know, like Cirque du Soleil, but more intimate.
You have a perfect car for Ubering, too. So you could be doing. I'm sorry. You're still eating.
What a beautiful moment for you to have captured on film.
And for our viewers who are watching along.
It's fantastic.
Now, there's a big backlash now about the lies that Uber is telling. Like, are you finding that to be true? That they're kind of, people are really on them?
You know, I've seen some of that backlash. And to me, it reminds me of, have you seen that thing that's been going around for several years now, probably about, oh, you want a day off? And it lists, like, you get all these holidays off. You get this many weeks of vacation. You take an hour a day for lunch. And by the end of the meme, it's like, you only have one day and you want that fucking day off. That's kind of like what this is that's going around. It's really stretching that math that kind of, by the end of it, it purports to say, oh, see, you end up owing Uber money. Not really true. I mean, you can spot where they're doing some funny things with their math in that. But does Ubering really pay off the way they say it does? Probably not.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the middle.
Well, somebody's making money aside from the high ups. Yeah. I mean, the driver. I take Uber often, and I run into several drivers who are nothing but happy with their situation.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine why anyone who has anything other than a Prius, which is what I drive, would do it.
Right. Because
true. Economically. I have been picked up in full size Ford four door trucks.
I don't know why.
And everything from, you know, the smallest little Sentra.
Yeah.
I can't prove it, but I think one guy picked me up in an 83 Yugo, but I'm not sure. But still,
remember the Adobe of Saturday Night Live?
The Adobe carving out of mud.
German engineering and Mexican know-how. And you get into a fender. The woman's planting, you know, little plants in her bumper because it's made out of clay.
I forgot.
I don't remember that at all.
Hey, it's Adobe. It's from the sort of the late 80s.
Let's see if I can find
that. Nora Dunn, Jan Hooks, Phil Hartman era.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if I can find that and we can interject
called
that.
The Adobe. It was a commercial for.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was selling for $300.
Traditional spelling.
Traditional spelling.
Adobe.
Now, he told you about the time that I accidentally got high in
accidentally?
Public. Well, somebody passed me an e-cigarette that I was amazed that it had no smell.
Oh, this is
so
a recent story.
So I took a hit off of it, not realizing he was just smoking pot in the patio of a restaurant with this magic... whatever they're called, vapor cigarettes that don't smell like, and you can't smell it.
Yeah.
And we were sitting in the middle of a restaurant. I took a big hit just to be an asshole.
Because you
got so stoned, had to I Ubered there, so I had to Uber home, and I got in the back of a caravan, or I don't care how you get here, where I got to sit back.
Just get here if you can.
A Dodge, I don't care. And I sat backwards, and I think the driver was more stoned than I was.
Oh, nice.
Because as we passed the places I lived, because I was looking backwards, so it wasn't until our destination had gone by I could point out. But that was the strain. Like, I was like, how can you afford the gas to drive this bohemian Dodge what have you 6 blocks? Like, nothing about this is economical. And then it was like $7 was the whole ride.
Right.
Like, I would pay a rickshaw driver more money than that.
You have.
I literally have. Those poor pedicab fuckers in Boston. They see me come in with that mini refrigerator call luggage. You should really charge me for two people because this thing's heavy. I'm fat and that's heavy. This is not going to go well for you.
It's fat and heavy. Yeah. This fall on NBC.
Exactly.
She was 1 week from retirement.
Fat and heavy.
Pulled her back
in. Exactly. With her buddy Puffy in the back as a legal secretary.
Starring Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz. Wow.
Somebody told me, I think it was my brother, and I don't know why we were having a conversation about
Jay Gertz?
The most famous, or the richest women in the world or something. And apparently Jamie Gertz is like practically a billionaire.
Oh.
And obviously it's not from acting.
Talent.
I'm just saying.
It's not from Square Peg.
But apparently
her residuals from Square Peg.
Apparently she either married someone or invested in something or invented Post-its or I don't know what. But apparently she's worth like a half a billion dollars or something.
Oh, that I don't know.
And you mocked her.
Is she a lesbian? Well,
don't think she is.
Is she a lesbian?
What?
You're looking at trading in something?
No, I'm looking at my bank account.
She's one of the owners of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, wow.
Well, that doesn't seem to bring in that much money.
They are members of the investment group. I don't know.
Interesting.
Gertz and her family currently reside in an exclusive Beverly Park community and have a vacation
in
Malibu. I'm not sure.
Yes, hi, Mom.
It's not listing her like the stupid money that Julia Louis-Dreyfus has.
Oh, right?
She's from
that whore.
Money.
Yeah, she is. Yeah,
and you can just imagine her laughing at her cast members on Saturday Night Live. Well, you know they have sketches and are eating out of a taco truck, and
she can cater the whole goddamn thing
when she's got to give blowjobs to be an extra in a sketch. But it still doesn't matter because you know her family's from old money, and
she just wanted to give the blowjob.
She's living on the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
Moving on now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm trying to find this Adobe car ad from SNL.
And a lot of times they'll keep it off YouTube now because they want you to use the SNL app. Because been on SNL, they...
Oh, there's a lot. The there's a ton of SNL on the YouTubes. I'm just trying to find the Adobe car. We'll keep looking. Anyway, Marn, welcome.
Hi,
over there in the old corner. Oh, for Christ's sakes. Is Phil Hartman by any chance driving the car in the commercial?
Probably.
Yeah, I think I found it. I think I have found the joy.
Bookmark that shit because we want to watch that.
And you are correct. It is on their website. A commercial advertising a low-priced automobile imported from Mexico that's made entirely out of clay and is completely malleable to any of the driver's needs.
I told you.
It's a good one.
We'll get back to this. We'll have a commercial break here in just a little while.
Yeah, we got to Google and find out what year that was.
86.
Okay.
Season 12.
That might not be the Sweeney's. The Sweeney Sisters must be the next year. Because that's still one of my favorite trips home. Everyone had gone to bed in the mid to late 80s. Everyone had gone home and went to bed. I was watching SNL, and it was the Captain Kirk.
What's his name? Yeah.
William Shatner episode, which was like one of the strongest episodes of SNL in history. And the Sweeney Sisters Christmas medley is on there. And my family's trying to sleep, and I'm just screaming and laughing in the living room. I'm like, why is no one enjoying this absolute delight? And who are these Sweeney Sisters? And how can we hire them for the party tomorrow?
The Sweeney Sisters were, I think Richard Stevens and I used to crack up to the Sweeney Sisters back in the day. And then, of course, Barbara and Celia modeled their
Piccolo Sisters
after the Sweeney Sisters.
And it's Mark Shaman at the piano.
Is that right?
Yeah, every time you see it, it's Mark Shaman at the piano.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that he was around. Bette Midler's regular accompanist since she and, you know, Barry aren't speaking again.
Oh, is that right?
Again? Yeah, now?
Yeah, I just found out. I found out that they're...
I was listening to some podcast or something that was on. And
yeah,
it said that.
She's very heartbroken. She, when they did this, the Rosemary Clooney tribute album... No, Rosemary Clooney was first. The second one was...
Not the sisters.
No, what's her name? Peggy...
Peggy Lee?
The Peggy Lee album. She had heard something as they were like getting to the final production parts of it. And she just went and asked someone to tweak something for it in the final recording. Like, something was off. She wanted it tweaked. And he was, like, so offended and blew up at her. And she was like, okay. And she put out a plea to him, like, didn't mean to offend you. Just heard it. Didn't want to bother you. It was an easy fix. Fixed it.
Oh, I had not heard him.
So,
wow.
And I guess he's holding a grudge.
Wow.
And who knows? I mean, he has resting. He's been surgically enhanced to resting bitch face. So
it's permanent now.
Resting Jew gay bitch face. All of that.
And I love when he tells Clay. I love when he tells Clay Aiken that this is what you're going to look like when you grow up. Geez. Every time he says it, it's funnier and funnier.
I have not ever heard that.
Because it's a valid fact.
Oh my God, I've not ever heard
Even if Clay Aiken doesn't have anything done, I think that's what's going to happen to it.
You are on the road to Fanilo. Wow.
Yeah. It's true.
So what did you do this week? Anything?
Did the fabulous march on Saturday.
I hadn't heard anything about it.
Well done.
Yeah. March?
It was a couple people. Had some friends
local
over.
Only.
Right.
Yeah.
Had some friends over. did that. And I feel like there's probably more, but, you know, I don't ever really remember. I got sick as a dog for the last couple of days. So today
it's bounced back.
A little bit
Tuesday.
Better. Yeah, yeah. A little bit
Welcome
better.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
This crud that everybody is just passing person to person.
I have been able to. Right. That's that.
I've had not an issue.
When we went
Stop
I
it. Been, don't
no,
cough.
No, that was pizza. I haven't
That's
been
cheese. Back. That's cheese.
Hocking up some pizza. It's fine.
And just as lovely as it sounds.
Sure. Absolutely.
Sure it is.
I mean, when Aaron and I went up north, she was sick the whole time that we were in the little hotel room, and I thought, oh, this is not going to go well.
Not a metaphor.
To start the year. No.
Not a metaphor.
And I thought, well, didn't get it. Mom has been sick. I mean, it's been fine, knock on wood, and last couple days. So I'm annoyed. I don't handle it well. Some people are okay being sick.
I'm not.
I am not.
I don't get sick often. Like I said, I haven't been sick this season, and I don't think I was last year. I don't get sick very often, but when I do,
flu.
You might as well just bury me. I mean, take me to the backyard because I don't want to live.
Okay. Where's Buddy? He went to the country where dogs can run.
Exactly. Right. I'm the worst. Oh.
He's in the Fiat Forever Meadow.
I spend about, I don't know, typically maybe a day where I'm like, I'm sorry. pardon me.
Pardon me.
You know, where I'm kind of a baby. I want, you know, like, can you get that? You know, whatever. And then past that, then I'm just mad. I'm annoyed that I'm sick. I can do it fine. You know, I'm very sharp, and I don't like being like that. That's
I
just normally
that I fall,
on Monday
I fall
through Friday.
Through
I'm like that, but
That's when I get pissed off. God damn it, I was watching that, but I don't remember what it was.
Right. So, but yeah.
But then you think, oh, I know it's been 8 hours. Will it rewind the whole way to that what I was right. watching?
It will not.
It doesn't, unfortunately.
No,
it doesn't.
No, I learned that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, just working and... You know, living large. You know, and well. You know, I mean, I do that well.
Oh. Fat and heavy.
Fat this and heavy.
Fall it's on exactly NBC.
Right. Oatmeal and Tang.
I'm
in the morning.
Fat. Yeah, exactly. Oatmeal and Tang in the morning. Fat and heavy in the afternoon on the
and
drive.
A sensible
the drive
lunch.
Time home.
Yeah. Sensible.
Your drive time with fat and heavy.
And I'll have a Diet Coke.
Right?
That was Rosie O'Donnell's best joke. If I knew how to have a sensible dinner, would I be having this conversation with you? I always enjoy that.
And we all take a drink.
Yeah, we'll do it.
That's good stuff.
If I wasn't eating every meal at Postino, would I be chatting with your ass?
Oh,
come with bread.
Funny.
I love bread.
Happens.
Yeah.
And now, what have you been?
I have one other thing.
Oh, sure. Do tell.
Just one other thing.
We're excited to hear this.
I have a new TV. Not really. A newer TV.
Oh, no, you don't have a new TV.
I might as well.
Oh.
Why?
Because I have a best brother from another mother.
Oh, there we go.
We fixed your TV.
And I left the little tiny piece. I was going to show you how to save $497.97. Because the little piece.
It's a tiny little capacitor, 79 cents.
Oh, that's what you were looking for the Clayton capacitor for.
Well, but then I had another issue. I had to fix something else. But no, that was
multiple capacitors.
You've had a need for a capacitor twice
multiple
in one
capacitors.
Week.
I work in computers. I have I need capacitors a lot.
I didn't even know a capacitor was something... Part
I've
of a
heard
computer.
Of capacity, like the capacity for this and that, but not a
so it's
capacitor.
Just a,
I thought he was a flux capacitor.
Could no, it wasn't. We were not trying to get back in time.
God,
but
I wish.
Yeah, so I have, thank you, again.
Oh, sure.
So
is it one of those big consoles that sits on the floor?
No.
Yeah.
No.
With a record
we all
in
had
the
that,
side.
Yeah.
The Zenith? No.
Where eventually it goes out, or the picture goes out on that, so you put the little one on top.
Right, right.
And you turn the sound on.
It's still a gorgeous piece of furniture.
You can't beat it.
The quality goes in.
Once the sound goes out, you go get Garrett Morris, she said, you know, you got
well, no, but if the speakers ever fail on that, right, because they're shitty speakers anyway, you get a real sound system and hook it up to it, like Al and I both have, so you hear everything else. I never use the speakers that are on the TV.
I have like a one of those
a sound bars.
Sound
that's
bar,
what my brother
I
has.
Yeah. I had to get a some other kind of cord, and then it just became too complicated.
It really.
Like I found the cord, I ordered the cord, like so I have everything truly just sitting right there, and I'm like, okay. Now
oh, wait, you're suffering still with the...
Yeah, I mean, it's truly just
gonna
sitting
be,
right
it's going to be another trip to your house, because there's no reason to suffer with those two little fucking speakers.
You have to sit there and seriously wonder while watching a TV show for the 90s, like I was sleeping through. Is that my phone or is that on the TV? It's everywhere. It can't be my phone. My phone's only ringing in the background. This TV's coming at me from five speakers.
The surround sound.
But
ring.
I was like, because I have the old-fashioned ring on my phone.
Sure.
Because everybody had that funky one, so I was like, well, I'll know it's mine. I don't have to go digging for my phone if that...
Sure.
Well, it turns out everything does it. And then you're watching an old TV show or movie that has a legitimate landline. You're like, motherfucker, now I got to get up.
Right. Damn it.
So my phone is a Joan Collins on Dynasty.
I mean, these are clearly her shoulder pads. Who knows if I'm using her phone?
Oh, man.
Could be. You can't prove it.
So what you're saying is Clayton has to go out and find another capacitor?
Well,
no, get it.
I think we had that. But he
it's in, it's
it.
Done.
My TV had a surge. Like, it just lit the TV, the computer, everything was plugged in. And it just... And I thought, well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Something's not. And my computer was fine, thank God. And then
there's a shame.
I know. Well, with this one. But the Westinghouse logo just kind of kept
right.
coming
on.
Oh,
right. Yeah,
and I'm
familiar.
Like, that's all it was. It was just like,
I know. I'm.
Is that still a thing?
Oh,
no.
Apparently.
Okay.
Not anymore.
It's more a thing.
Westinghouse.
That's what mine is.
Okay,
My 70 inches of Westinghouse.
I haven't gone shopping for TV every week in a few years. I didn't know who was still in the business.
It's been 3 weeks.
It was on clearance a few years ago. I wouldn't buy another Westinghouse television.
And I don't think I would either.
No.
I, you said mine Samsung and
oh no, right? Yeah, well, the fact that his is literally like you're in live theater and they just act it out in your living room because the picture is so incredible.
You have, there are I'm, times I'm that mine still is startling. Having kind of some flashbacks, if you will, about Sandra Bullock.
Gravity
and
on
George
my TV
Clooney.
With the real 3D was nauseating.
It was
way. There is a point where like the size of my house and the size of that TV are not compatible, and gravity was that minute when my TV started throwing satellites at me. It was time
I was
to
sitting
abort
on a
mission.
Chair, and then I was not because I was like, I really thought I was going to get into something. So.
That was one of the funniest things is all of us were like,
can you rewind that? Don't.
I don't want to see that.
I don't care what happened.
Funny.
I'm sorry, you missed it, but I got hit by it.
Why do I have a lump on my head? I got hit by that? No, you fell off your chair. Ducking.
There was something else I watched in 3D on that, and I just took the glasses off. I'm like, nope. Flip the disc over. Watch the other side. It's so much.
Yeah. Even just watching the Olympics on yours, when they were going, no 3D, no nothing. When they were going around, I think it was in... When they were in China.
When the guy from Tonga walked in?
No, not that. Not those Olympics.
The runners always fuck me up.
It was the camera work when they were just initially coming in.
Oh, the camera
was
like flies with them?
And it was flying along the water and this cliff. And I'm like,
woo, woo.
Oh, mine was the speed really skaters was. That last time Yoko Ono skated.
Yoko Ono was at the march, too. Did you see that? Yoko Ono is in a wheelchair and at the march.
Well, she's 100.
Well, she's something. Also, I just want to point out, boys, that you've mentioned size quite a bit. And so size does apparently matter, right?
It does.
I mean, everything's been about size of your TV, the size matters.
A little bit.
Ask the president.
Those little tiny hands. Mm-hmm. He's worried.
I have a story coming up later in headlines about size, not what you're thinking.
So, like, how much fighting did we do with people who now want to kill Madonna?
For real? Like, what? Shut up. If you read the whole thing, or if you hear everything that she said,
listen to the end of that sentence.
Beep. That's all you heard.
She really only says fuck you three times, and she says fuck one more time. Like,
hi, Joey.
Because I heard it and was not even remotely taken aback by it. I thought the Ashley Judd thing, the epic poem.
I thought that was fucking awesome.
It was awesome, but I could see where, all right, that's it's pushing a line. She's going somewhere.
I thought she was great.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, there wasn't one part of it, but the Madonna thing I thought was so innocuous.
Like kind of over, but Madonna compared to Ashley Judd, I think that the personalities. Like,
but I thought I thought Ashley Judd was more thought provoking and more like in your face.
Absolutely.
Where Madonna just said, "If you think we're doing nothing, fuck you, fuck you." And I'm like, that's kind of what I would say. I didn't.
And have you not just
so she got it
face,
out of the way right there?
Thing?
I've heard of this. I don't.
You haven't really
watched a lot of news
ton,
or
right,
whatever.
Right. Yeah, this was that was something where I was taken by her. I appreciated
it was in your face.
Really
and I,
intense.
So
I
had some friends that were very, 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 like, burn all your Madonna records, like, welcome to 39 Germany, and we're going to burn the books. And I was like, so, I heard this.
You're right.
And you heard that.
Yeah.
That's your perception, and if Madonna needs to clear that up with you, she's going to have to go to you, because that's your perception, so that's your reality. I'm like, so now let's go back and talk about your
mainstream.
Boy
right.
mocking a disabled
right.
person.
Well, let's
so
go to Main Street.
You make... No. What I'm saying, you specifically, you make excuses for that and say that I'm being sensitive.
Sure.
So, but what I... So if you can be offended by Madonna, then guess what?
Right.
Trump's got to come back and talk to us.
Sure.
If you want Madonna to clarify what she meant, then I'm going to need you to... I need Trump to say to me what he was really doing, because I watched him mock a handicapped person, and so did about 69 million other people.
It's an alternative fact.
And it was the first time that I think... got across to these Trumpites of like,
I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't like.
But if you, what I would, and,
like if
and
I found
I
it motivational and you found it offensive, you don't think he's doing
Let's
anything waving his hands and making that voice, and
right.
I do.
Right.
Then if you want to own that one, you got to own mine and understand that side. And I really think it like,
And see, you went directly to that, which oddly I didn't, which you would think that I would have, but I did not. And I went to the Main Street. The fact that he said, I could go on the Main Street
and
I could shoot somebody.
Fifth Avenue. The middle of Fifth Avenue.
I'm sorry. I could go in
shoot somebody and not lose any votes.
Exactly. And so where, like, at what point is that not comparable? I don't know. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, no, but it isn't. But it's that whole thing of perception is reality. Sure. Like, if you make a joke and it hurts someone's feeling, it doesn't matter what you meant. You have to go and take care of that person. Like,
Aaron says that too.
Or if you want to save them. Or if you want to write them off, then that joke worked.
Yep.
Which is usually what I do.
And then your name is Joy Behar. And you're like, fuck you. You know, yeah. It was a joke. It's comedy, yeah. And who cares? And that's... Each person, I would say, is right.
And I wish I had done my schedule a little bit better. I purposefully scheduled myself to make sure I was not going to be available for the weekend of the inaugural. So, I would have, and I've kind of burned off all my PTO. Not PTO, but burned off all my available excuse days.
Did any of you watch the inauguration?
No.
No, I couldn't.
No. I couldn't.
No.
No, and I love that. I mean, we put it on.
But it's huge.
Marnie.
But in fairness, I can't watch.
You watched it.
No, I didn't.
And Al watched it, and Clayton watched it. We all watched it.
Everyone watched it.
You did.
Biggest audience ever, because all of us watched it.
I still haven't seen it.
When he went to the CIA,
I did. It was in my white sheet. I was in the back. I was near the memorial.
I was here, and I happened to have the channel on when he went to the CIA to talk to them. And it's pardon me. It started, and I got literally like two sentences in, and I'm like, I can't listen to him.
Yeah,
it was so painful. And I'm like, it'll just be recapped later, and it has been because he completely made an ass of himself there
and brought a cheering section.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paid for.
Literally brought a
cheering section to be in front of that
Which I'm
wall.
Not entirely mad at. Because no. I'd like to travel with a cheering section.
Yeah.
You have us.
All right. There's not a lot of us that are going to argue with the fact that I would.
In principle.
I see.
When I do enjoy when I'm driving my car across country to listen to live recording so that when I'm done singing, there's applause.
Sure.
Jeez.
That's really... fucked up and brilliant all at the same time. Yeah, I like that. I like it. Really? Yeah.
But it's been, it's almost as difficult to listen to the Orange Dumpster Fire talk live as it is Spicer.
Oh.
Because that is just.
You just can't pick one. Like, no. Each one.
He should know better.
He really should.
I don't know. Yeah. Which one's the chief pivoter in charge? Is it Kellyanne or is it Spicer? Because the two of them, I mean, they're deflecting and pivoting. It's insane.
Based on that, they do need bracelets.
Yeah, but hers, what would she get to match? I mean, is it the white? Is it the red?
What?
Is it the,
no, and somebody
the
said it.
Fuck?
That is just proof of when you have no gay friends.
Yes, that's exactly right.
No one, not one queen would let that walk out the door. No. Even lesbians would be like,
calm
down. I don't have the right glassware, but I know that.
Yeah. Trust me.
I drove here in a Subaru, and I know that's
and
not
you,
right.
And, you know, now we're being told, don't make fun of the way Kellyanne looks.
What? Oh, because we're being mean?
I'm sorry.
No.
I can't.
No.
You know what? Nobody said, Hitler's awful, but let's not make fun of his tiny mustache. No, everything's fair game when you're that horrible of a person.
And that Contessa, nuh-uh. Oh, we're loading up both barrels for you.
And I was cracking up because Friday night, stop, Marnie. Just stop talking.
I've been through both days. I don't know which one you want.
So, was it Friday that you came over with the TV? Yes.
No, that was Sunday, the day of the march.
Oh, Lord, you were off on all counts.
Saturday was the day of the march.
Saturday.
The day of the march is when I came to your house and brought the TV back.
Ah, fuck. See, that's why I can't tell you what I did all week. Anyway, remember when I said that was just a bunch of white sheets? That was the KKK. How could they not know? I had not been on... Facebook on anything, and then when I saw the memes of like all the white, I just burst out laughing.
Well, mine was
like,
when they drove by the empty grandstands
on the parade route,
and they're waving.
Oh, that was amazing!
Yeah,
the three people were waving.
Yeah, but they couldn't bring them in. There was a
spectrograph or something. Yeah, there was something right on the Star Trek.
There had to have been some really, really specific.
Spirogyra.
There was Spirogyra. A delightful band.
Yeah.
So I did not march for my week. But I drank a couple times. What did I do?
Well, then you were.
He slept in for the cause.
I just slept my normal day. No, I just worked a little, drank a little. I too thought I had chosen my movies wisely for the Academy. I only have two movies to see.
I have two to see. I don't think they're the same movies because I know.
Yeah, I I stood there at the board the other day, looked at the movies and thought, nope, I'm covered in every category. I can leave except for animated feature and stuff like that. But and then fucking Loving came through. The movie I just keep missing and choosing something else.
I was really shocked because I saw it, you know, the week it came out, and I enjoyed it. And all of the buzz was for Joel Edgerton. And then he misses out. And Ruth Negga gets in. So I was really kind of surprised. I thought she might, but I thought if she did, he would as well. And then he misses out.
And it had that Blue Valentine effect. Where the Blue Valentine with...
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling, Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
The buzz was all about the two of them, and then only she got nominated.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
They can't decide if they like him or not.
I think you're right.
They kind of go back and forth because that was he keeps getting nominated for the wrong movies and overlooked for the right ones. But that was good. So Postino's got a good wine selection. I've been drinking myself into a new shoe size, and
okay.
Hoping this handful of nuts sobers me up. Probably not.
I don't have a lot of faith in those to get you sober.
That's really all that's left.
Okay. I don't have... There's a Butterfinger in there if you like.
So yeah, we might get there,
I enjoy
too.
Those, too. Yes.
And you,
nice
sir?
Face, Butterfinger. Is that how that goes?
No,
Butterfinger.
Butterface.
Butter. Wait, where are you saying her finger is right
oh,
now?
Oh, nice butthole, Butterfinger. No.
You should not be a jingle writer. I'll tell you that right now.
Great, there's another career I can't move into.
Oh, God. That looks like it's got everything in it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Interstate. Okay, so Joey from Canada... He's apparently watching us on some mobile device, T-Mobile.
While he's driving.
Giving him issues. Interstate 390 has no reception, so I can't listen. Keeps buffering.
Maybe you can catch Oatmeal and Tang there on...
Or you can catch a show from 4 years ago when we tell you to get the fuck off T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah. No.
It was almost like a future cast. Anyway. Well, Joey from Canada.
Is it too soon?
Drive safe. Don't keep your eyes on the road and keep reaching for the stars or whatever. Whatever Casey Kasem
don't
used to say.
Don't dig up Casey Kasem.
His can't? Wife will come running.
Yeah, Jane will get pissed.
Yeah, buried.
Have they buried him yet?
I'm not sure. Wasn't there a cremation?
I don't have any idea.
I thought there was a fight. There was a big fight. Right, I don't remember exactly.
I did not see his grave in the.
Breaking news! I just got an alert on my phone. The Orange Dumpster Fire will order a construction. Of the wall on Wednesday, so tomorrow I'm sure that's going to be our first thing.
What does that mean? He's going to order a construction of the what? Like, I don't who
it's.
I don't even know what to say.
What a fucking moron!
I don't even know what to say.
You know what they should do? Take the coal miners, send them down to build the wall.
You know what?
And then when they're done, just tear it down.
And then pay them to tear it down.
Yeah.
Sure.
It'd be like the
saving money.
The WPA. You know, it's just create jobs doing whatever.
Yeah. Well, just like the pipelines that he was signing into law, you know, you're going to do all that today. And the people are like, he's talking about jobs. It's going to create, I think it was 1,200 long-term jobs that it would create, but like overall, they were going to be jobs for 2 years and then it was over.
Well, this is the problem I have with this whole creating jobs thing. And it's not just with Trump. It's a lot of people, the way people think about jobs in this country. Coal miners, look, you're going to be out of a job soon. Because coal mining is not really going to be a thing much longer.
Oh, I think you're saying what I've been saying.
And, you know, it's like anything that's like automation at the grocery stores, whatever. You know what? Some jobs just get phased out.
Yes.
Because that's the argument I've had with people about, you know, the self-checkout line, which I still love.
I hate.
And people are like, well, but that's taking jobs away from those people who maybe those jobs aren't needed anymore.
Yeah.
They're still needed. I'm not defending.
Not as much. I mean,
maybe not. I refuse to go through a self-checkout.
That's fine, but a lot of people do. So that does eliminate some checker jobs at the Fry's and Target.
If we could just get them to eliminate all of the nasty ones and keep the perky nice ones, that'd be great.
In Oregon and New Jersey, you're not allowed to pump your own gas, and a lot of people think it's ridiculous. But there's such a strong lobby up there because people are going to lose jobs if you don't have that guy there to pump your gas.
The other 48 states haven't had that job in a long time.
I'm sorry. People, that job doesn't need to be around anymore.
I agree with
what you're
saying.
There'll be other jobs that come around to fill that for
whatever. I keep using the analogy, you know, we don't need widgets anymore, so we got to make something else. So people who knew how to make widgets now have to figure out how to make something else.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts. I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying, though. Jobs get phased out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, stenographers, not really a lot of people... stenographers right. anymore. I mean, they record it and then you transcribe it back, or you know, whatever they do now. But there's not a lot of there's a lot of jobs that have just phased out from technology.
Well, the Henry Ford's assembly line. I mean,
yeah,
almost. You know, automation.
Yeah,
it happens,
and it does. It does eliminate. The need for
Remember the typing pools?
Yeah.
In
the 50s?
Well, we just saw Hidden Figures last week.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, perfect example.
Perfect example.
One of the things I really, because I think, we'll get into this later, I'm not as in love with that movie as the rest of the world, but one of the things I loved is how it demonstrated that the jobs are over.
Yeah, and you have to adapt really quickly.
And you have to adapt, and they did. I thought that was really one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'll tell you right now, NASA doesn't give a fuck. When that computer came in and did what it did, they got rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. But they're freaking out because there's a little town somewhere because everybody, it's the way we've always done it. We've always been miners. Mm-hmm. We've always done this. We've always done that. Didn't anybody think maybe we shouldn't have 87 children, A, to support, and they're not all going to fucking be miners? Some of them are going to branch off and go be Broadway stars or do whatever the fuck else. But the ones who stayed there.
Somebody saw Billy Elliot.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying somebody there in the city should have realized, shit, we might want to do something different here.
Diversify.
Maybe. Right. But no. Got to stay the same.
Well, not only that, now they've got the black lung from the coal mines and they have no health insurance to keep it. What is that?
What is what? Trail mix.
No. Trail mix.
So now you had pizza
this
and
trail mix. This is ingenious. It's M&M's and peanuts and raisins, by God.
Eat it up.
We've got so many advancements here at the studio.
No Reese's
so
Pieces? Variety. Okay.
Whatever. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
I'll make sure and take care of that.
I'm
going to
be critical of your trail mix.
you asked what I'd done. Not all. I mean, I fixed a TV.
Did
I've
we
got
ask?
Other things
I don't know.
He did.
Okay.
He did. Listen.
I
invited
dangerous.
Guests.
Whose show is that? Oh, it's, yeah.
Well, clearly it's never been mine. Ever. Ever. Jesus. All right. Well, I tell you what we are going to do. We are going to play this because we need to. I want to we'll visit this
and see
if we get copyright shamed for this. This is a Saturday Night Live commercial from 1986. And I have not previewed this, but I'm going to assume this is a good quality minute and a half video. So we'll find out. We'll be right back after this. Al's going to give us our drinking word, and then headlines are coming up. It's Q Talk America. Oh, we got to hit play. Or not. God damn it.
Talking about the Hyundai and the Yugo. Both nice cars if you've got $3,000 or $4,000 to throw around. But for those of us whose name doesn't happen to be Rockefeller, finally there's some good news.
A car with a sticker price of $179. That's right, $179. The name of the car? Adobe. The sassy new Mexican import that's made out of clay. German engineering and Mexican know-how helped create the first car to break the $200 barrier. At this price, you might not expect more than reliable transportation.
But brother, you get it. Extra features like the custom contour seats or the beverage gripping dash. And the money you save isn't exactly small change.
Hey, we're Adobe. The little car that's made out of clay. We're gonna save you some money. Spend in some other way.
Adobe, you can buy a cheaper car, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Not approved for street use in some states. No warranties, either expressed or implied. All sales final.
I'm here because I burned some bridges at Wendy's.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
And now, we dance.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, I think we have to make our drinking word Adobe.
Adobe!
Elapsed time, Adobe. 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hey, hey, it's Adobe. Adobe.
Sure. You could buy a cheaper car, but I wouldn't
recommend
it. That is one of those things. I mean, I've been a Saturday Night Live watcher since like 1980. One of those things I remember. Why? I don't know. It's funny, but it's not the funniest thing they've ever done. But I've always remembered that.
The Taco Town. Taco Town is the one
the best commercial.
That does me in.
So good.
And I feel like the makers of Arrested Development watched that, and that's how they got Captain Jack's. The everything platter. It's literally everything on the menu.
Oh.
And then it says the price of each item a la carte. That's just the menu. But it says Captain Jack's everything platter. Don't order it. And there's like six people carrying it out. And the fact that they got away with such a stupid joke for so many episodes. Don't order it.
All right, let's continue on. Ryan, you think we got this?
Adobe!
Perhaps
she does. Yeah. Here we go. It's our headline section. Even when you thought we couldn't get any less interesting, here we are. Headlines on a Tuesday night. Oh, she was running late in a snowstorm.
We're going to play in the uterus.
Beer bottle steals pizza.
Intersex outing.
An onion in a bag.
New breeding program.
Better late than never.
Why would Hillary wear white?
And a horse is a horse.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course. Of course.
These and other titillating stories. Hold on to your tits and bits. That's my new favorite phrase. I love that one. You Talk America. Hang on. I don't know why I make myself laugh. When Alec Baldwin on SNL, when he was doing the first press conference, when he was talking about everything was going to happen out, he goes, hang on to your tits and bits. It makes me laugh every day. And I just say it to myself walking through the house, and it just makes me laugh.
I love when he says, Gina.
Gina. And that's how you really say it. Gina.
Oh. Stupid ass.
And I watched the rest of that episode, and you were right. That was the weakest one all season. I haven't watched all of Aziz and Zari, but
he's funny.
But the one... So January Jones needs to just go home.
I texted my friend Steve and said anyone with the last name Jones should not host SNL anymore because January Jones from like 6 or 8 years ago was the worst until Felicity Jones just shat all over the place a couple weeks
ago. That was terrible. And she's one of those women, I hate to say it after the Women's March, I forget who she is while she's talking to me.
I don't even know who she was to begin with.
Oscar nominee for the Theory of Everything.
Again, I got nothing.
But there's that girl that's in Superman Returns, Kate someone.
Beckinsale. No?
Blanchett.
No. Bosworth.
Okay, either or. I couldn't tell them apart if they walked in the room right now.
I forget she's
Ladies
in the
and gentlemen, Kate Beckinsale!
Yeah. I forget she's in the movie while I'm watching it. Like, in the middle of her sentence, I'm like, oh, wait.
Who are you?
Who is she?
Who are you again?
Is she a character in this?
We're sorry about that.
All right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Anyway, a New Hampshire State Police said a woman accused of driving 91 miles an hour in a snowstorm said that she was late for an appointment. Very important appointment. She's on her way to get a new car stereo installed. Police say they stopped the 21-year-old Anastasia Hawking of Laconia on Interstate 93 on Wednesday. On Wednesday morning, the highway was covered with snow and slush at the time. Hawking said that she was late for the appointment. She was arrested on a reckless driving charge and is scheduled to be arraigned on March 3rd. Wow, she's going to be sitting there for a while. It wasn't immediately known if she had a lawyer, and a phone number could not be found for her in local records. No, well,
was she driving an Adobe?
I was saying, because she felt confident at 91 miles an hour
in snow and ice. Yes,
because the mud was just absorbing it.
Sure, right. Pew 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 pew.
I love it.
That car absorbs. She can go horseback riding. She can go swimming. She can play tennis.
She's very busy.
You just don't get it near fire.
That is ceramic.
Only comes in one color.
Well, Hannah Gabby revealed.
Who?
I'm getting there.
Hannah Gabby.
Revealed that she is intersex.
Traditional spelling, Hannah.
That she
is that a
intersex.
Nickelodeon character?
No, actually it's not. It's a
no,
model.
No, that's Montana.
Is Nickelodeon still a thing?
It is.
Nick.
A Vogue model has revealed that she is intersex, a decision that she took in order to encourage more open conversation on the subject. And
I didn't know they needed more open conversation. I thought they were already having it.
But they're not, though.
Oh.
It's shamed.
We are.
It shouldn't be.
I have cable. I'm sorry.
She says it's very important to me in my life right now to break the taboo. She's a Belgian model, and this is something that we have discussed on the show.
Belgian models?
She like waffles?
Intersection was a fantastic documentary that I had watched. And we've talked about this. At this point in this day and age, it should be perfectly all right to talk about it. Almost 2% of the population is born intersex, possessing characteristics, either genital or chromosomal, which do not fit the typical definition of male or female. The condition and its results are often unwelcome surgeries. These things are rarely discussed. She says she's proud to be intersex, but very angry that the surgeries are still happening. And it really, from different stuff that I've read now, I'm just learning more about it. It's kind of terrifying. The model was born with a chromosomal intersex trait known as androgen. Is that what we decided?
Mm-hmm.
Androgen insensitivity syndrome, in which a woman has XY chromosomes more typically found in men. Doctors urged her parents to consent to surgery. Sorry?
It's right away.
Oh,
uh-huh. No, I'm just going to. Kat Carlson, on her way.
Got it. Thank you.
Keep going. In a sex away.
La, 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 la. Doctors urged her parents, Hannah's parents, to consent to surgery to remove undescended testes, which meant I might develop cancer and I would not develop as a, quote, normal female girl. I knew at one point after surgery I could not have kids. I was not having my period. I knew something was wrong with me. It's not that big of a deal being intersex. If they were just honest from the beginning, it became a trauma because of what they did. Because parents are making these decisions.
Of course.
You know, and then later on, one story that if I understood it correctly, then the parents kind of changed their mind.
Mm, yeah. Right?
So that's terrifying. The model is often on the catwalk. I mean, she, you know, to for presentation, if you will, people seeing her, they would have never, you would never think that this is someone who has had to deal with that and go through those struggles. And she definitely hasn't. So coming out was a really big thing. It's coming out similarly to a degree when you look back on the different things that gay people have when they're coming out and the kind of the backlash that can happen because of that. But now you're in fashion and you're this female model that's up there walking. So I think it's a really big deal. And I think it's cheer to Hannah Gabby on that. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I just posted a link to her Wikipedia page. So you can, take a look.
Oh, I just had the article.
Take a look at her and kind of read her story. But she's very, very brave week.
Very brave. Yeah.
And one of those things, a lot of information. And it was one of those topics that I definitely was not on the right side of the learning curve on that whole thing.
I hadn't been either. And I still have so much to learn about it. But that documentary that I had told you all about, that intersection, mm-hmm. God damn, was that good. It was just super eye-opening. So anyway, I was just very impressed with.
I have nothing to offer because I don't know anything about any of that.
Yeah, especially after the, you know,
I have limited knowledge as well.
With the Women's March on Saturday and the fact that everyone was really promoting, this was the Women's March, and it was. But it was fighting for all.
Am I mistaken? Do we not have someone who's typically in the chat room who identifies?
Yeah. Amina.
I mean, it was Amina. Got it. Yeah. I knew I'd heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, that's where.
And that was the first I'd ever heard it.
Yep.
And it made me go looking, and that's when I saw that documentary as well, and realized like, oh, I got nothing.
I got nothing on that.
Yeah. I've been trying to learn more about it so that people, you know, if meeting people that they don't. Feel if they do talk about it that they don't feel kind of so strange about
would you,
reaction
because of your line of work. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that you could come across that in because you deal with disabilities, you deal with learning
it's
disabilities, you
mainly
deal with
developmental disabilities.
Developmental. Mm-hmm. Now could and I'm not trying to categorize anybody, but could there, let's say, a parent who doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. What's going on with their child. Yep. And I do understand that sometimes parents who have kids shouldn't, because maybe they're not the sharpest tool in the shed to begin with.
Sure.
But if they don't understand, or if they believe something is wrong with their child that is completely, you know, the child, could they have potentially thought maybe that there was some sort of a developmental issue and come to you with that and you have to figure this out, or no? Is that not something that would fall
in
your
wheelhouse?
Do you mean
something along this line?
Yeah.
If it went along with another diagnosed developmental disability, like if there were something that, you know, a child was born, because it's not as though this only would happen to folks that do not have a developmental disability, right? I mean, so if you have a family member that is born with Down syndrome.
Right.
And they're also intersex, I would hazard to say that they probably wouldn't do anything about it. Actually, well, comparatively speaking.
I think we've just evolved to the point that I think like 30, 40 years ago, anything that was abnormal was just labeled needed to go to a special school.
Right. Absolutely. It was, you're going to go to that institution.
There were things that were just put into that category of, oh, something's just...
Yep.
There's something about Amelia.
Yeah. Oh.
I can quote a dance and title.
Well, and when you, the Willowbrook was in upstate New York, and it was something that was an institution that housed like 3,000 people that had developmental disabilities, except they didn't. Like, it wasn't just
misdiagnosed
people that were in with folks that were severely diagnosis of MR with what we'll say today is a cognitive disability, that were in there with people that had very intense mental disabilities.
Right. It was on Staten Island.
Yes. And it was a nightmare. Because
it was literally a snake pit.
It really was. What, the one flew over the cuckoo's nest. The people have seen different videos. And
oh, and Senator Robert Kennedy called it a snake pit.
Oh, absolutely.
Closed
absolutely.
In 1987.
Yep, finally. But in 1973, that's when Geraldo Rivera made his mark known, you know, if you will. And it was by going in there and doing the expose on it.
That's how I heard of it.
And it really was something where, you know, there people were naked, people were just with their own, like nobody's cleaning them, nobody's doing anything. They're just medicating the hell out of people. And it could be, truthfully, where people don't, it could be someone had glasses.
Yeah.
It could be like, yeah, there's something happening here. You have glasses, you have a limp, you have a...
Where they would put dyslexics.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So someone with dyslexia... perhaps would be on the same ward as somebody else who had Down syndrome or who had, thank you, who had Down syndrome and had different needs or actually had, very, very intense, just very intense different needs. And they were just medicated because they were able to.
Right.
And they were able to say, here, take this pill. Let's see what that does to this person.
Right. And like you were saying with the parents, I think that would be more like, direct those parents to like a support group of other parents and find out like
I wouldn't.
What
be
do you really
them.
Want to do about? You know what I mean? Like, you think this is some kind of disability?
Right.
Here are some other people. Talk to them. Find out what is really going on with your child. And I think that's where education. The child's going to be fine. The parents got to get their shit
right.
Together.
And more often than not, I think that's the thing. The child who depending despite what their disability is or ability, depending on how you look at it, the child is going to work through whatever because they know no different. Like, that's just how my body works. That's how I'm going to get. It's the parents who lose their mind over things and need the counseling because my child's not like everybody else's child, or my child is abled differently.
Well, and they think about sexual orientation when parents react negatively to a child who comes out as gay. It's not about the child as much as it is.
No, not at
all. What are people going to think about me?
Right.
What are my friends going to...
What will the neighbors think?
I don't want my friends to know this, that I have a gay son or daughter.
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you have someone who is intersex, you have... Now I have someone who is gay and... There are so many things happening, right?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
For how they're going to be affected. And, you know, when Anant in the chat room is making a really super valid point about being eye-opening that differently abled people have sexual needs as well. And no one, I always tell Ananta, I always tell people when they say, well, they're not like normal kids. Like, nobody is normal. Go ahead and look around. You know, go ahead and look around.
Right.
Nobody's normal. But when that idea of sex and people thinking they'll come to talk to me and say, well they're 14 and they're absolutely acting erratically, and they it's called 14 right, because they're looking at it like because people will say, but they act like they're four. God, I want to punch people in the throat, but it really is like to give kind of a
but their bodies are still going through puberty,
but their bodies
and experiencing
are 14
all that thing.
They're 35 or they're whatever it is, and you know, to think that those urges.
Yeah.
We've had people come, well, they were masturbating.
You probably about 6 hours ago
and they think, "Oh my God. Well, why are they doing that?" Well, just cuz you have Down syndrome doesn't mean that you don't have any kind of urges.
Right.
And you're not going to figure that shit out too.
Right.
Everybody invents sex for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I enjoy a cool breeze.
That's a really great point. Yeah.
A dryer sheet put on the right place.
Oh my God. It's downy soft. Oh, now it's downy hard. Look at that. Very different.
Well, so, Anand, I don't know, and I don't want to go, and I apologize, Clayton, I don't want to go off too much on this, but everybody gets aroused
by something differently. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are...
Oh, by all means.
There are so many different, when you think fetishes are different.
Right. It could be a touch. It could be audio. It could be a scent. There's so many different things.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, truthfully, absolutely nothing different.
Linda Etter performance. You never know what's going to put wind in the sails.
There's absolutely nothing different between someone with any kind of a developmental issue and us. Because there is no us them. Right? I mean, like, it's a matter of separating that.
Everybody poops.
Everybody poops. And everybody just has different needs. And different people need different kinds of help with different things.
But you find out as everyone reaches a certain age that everyone has just a profound need to be touched, to be hugged, to have a physical contact. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on anywhere.
That final scene in Moonlight when he utters that line, that just devastates me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that time for me comes sometime in 2017.
Yeah.
I've been waiting.
I recommend Hawaii.
Oh,
there you go.
Well,
seems to happen there.
Oh, have to make a trip to the.
Sorry to go off on that.
Is that where you go over and you play Magnum PI?
Yeah.
What do you do over there?
Who's playing the part?
I'm
going
to drive a Lamborghini around the island and you chase me. All right.
Ooh, I like it.
Metaphoric, because I'm not running.
Oh, God. I understand.
Fair enough.
Well, a man in South Wales was caught on camera stealing two pizzas while dressed as a beer bottle, and here is security camera footage showing said man.
It was a Heineken. I don't know.
The saucy surveillance pic was taken New Year's Day at a Papa John's Pizza in Barry, South Wales. The unidentified pizza thief entered a staff area only a staff only area, grabbed two pies and left without paying, according to the Barry and District News. Luckily, it doesn't look like you took any dough. I don't write these people. I just steal them from the internet. By the way, here's a little shot up look. He looks happy. Look at him. God damn. It might seem easy to track down a giant Heineken bottle, but like a beer that's been open for 6 hours, the search seems to have gone a little flat. God. Authorities are hoping to nab the giant Heineken right in the bud, but releasing a photo of the the pizza thief is all that they've done so far. We all know a few beers often leads to a takeaway, but this brazen beverage seems to have forgotten to pay for his food, a spokesman for the South Wales Police Department said. Anyone who might know the identity of the pie-eyed robber is asked to contact the South Wales Police by dialing 101, an emergency number only good in the United Kingdom. So if you're listening to this somewhere else,
and you think you spotted this guy,
right? So if you live in the UK, dial 101 and tell him that you've spotted a tall man in a Heineken bottle. He probably doesn't have the pizza anymore.
And really, but Papa John's. That's where you went.
Really, that's where you went. Sure.
Of your first time at espionage, Papa John's.
Yeah. Papa John's.
Well, there is a new breeding program.
Thank God.
You looked right at me. God, do I ever participate? Well,
it's aimed at keeping moderate Republicans from going extinct.
Oh, well.
Seeing the now critically endangered species of a politician is at a high risk.
This has got to be an onion extinction. Story. I pray to God this is an onion story.
Well, you never know anymore. You just alternative facts.
Alternative facts.
All alternative facts.
Bitch.
Politicians is at high risk for complete extinction within the next 10 years. Beltway area conservationists announced plans Monday for a new captive breeding program designed to save moderate Republicans. According to members of the Initiative to Protect the Polite Middle, centrist Republicans who once freely roamed the nation, calling for both economic deregulation and a return to Reagan-era tax rates on the wealthy, are in dire need of protection, having lost large portions of their natural terrain to the highly territorial evangelical and Tea Party breeds. Oh, that's nice.
I can't find it.
In the center square, Cat Carlson!
Usually reserved for gay gentlemen.
Fall into block?
Well, pretty close.
Justin Bieber to block over there? Can I get
that? I have to sit here from now on. Are you permanently back?
No. Just tonight. No. He'll get a job and then he'll leave us. But it was convenient.
He's going to Uber you home, though.
Tonight,
stay unemployed.
Tonight, you had a meeting and Buddy had free time.
It's legit. Yeah. Legit. Were you reading something? What's something going on?
Not important.
Headlines. You may be familiar with the routine.
It was something
of this.
About area man breeding. Something. I don't know.
And I did hear something about breeding. That was nice.
So I want to hear. So how do you breed them?
Who knows? Who knows?
Well, I'm assuming you do.
Wait a minute.
Well, I know.
Is the boy part goes into the girl
when
part.
When two Republicans love each other very much.
And they're very, very nice.
They people. Hire a hooker.
And he pees on
and
them.
And he pees on them in Russia.
And that's why they're going to be extinct.
I'm actually sorry.
Where did you?
Oh, fine.
When a Republican was asked, where did you last have sex? In the butt, Bob.
In the butt, Bob. Abortions are illegal. In the butt, Bob.
What are we drinking, Kat?
Kat, Carlson.
Well, Ann B. Davis, what are you enjoying?
This is a local Jim J. brew. Bullock. This is a local brew straight out of
Compton?
Lake Havasu City.
Oh!
Yeah, the College Street Brewery there produces a wheat beer that I greatly enjoy called Big Blue Van. Would you like one?
Would you
down
have
extra?
I have plenty, yes.
I would like one.
You
and
one.
In a glass as well?
We are fancy.
We're Rockefellers?
Pinkies up, girls. Pinkies up. Let me go get another glass.
Thank you.
Pinky, your pinky
you
ring to the moon.
You could spend more than $179, but I wouldn't.
Yeah. That's actually good.
You could get a cheaper car, but
it's got a blueberry taste to it.
Well, see, look,
I hope it didn't taste like Van.
Yeah,
right? Ooh, that is a good call.
What are you, size 11?
It tastes like a Volkswagen Van. Can you describe that? Okay. No, I cannot.
I'd rather not. I'm not a mechanic.
Very good.
I enjoy this one because the blueberry's not like overwhelming. Like there's.
She said
another
snot. She said
snot.
Blueberry snot.
Blueberry snot.
Snot. Snot. Snot good.
Snot good. Snot good.
All right, continue with them breeding.
I think
that
was it.
Story. Okay. That's fine.
Well, if it's
moving on.
In fairness, none of the rest of us really liked it either.
No. So. Adobe!
There's no shock there.
She cried from under a pile of mud.
There we go. Well, I know Kat Carlson will be on board with this, and I've already subscribed, so I'm sure Kat will do it as soon as she can find a device that will permit her to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
A piece of produce in a bag might hit President Donald Trump right where it hurts the most.
Onion in a bag.
By literally upstaging him on Twitter. A new Twitter account called at Half Onion in a Bag features a photo of a yellow onion cut in half in a plastic bag. I'm going to show you what this looks like. You may be familiar with what an onion in a bag looks like, but boom, there it is. The goal is simple, just to get more followers for this fucking onion than for dumbass.
I'm in. Hold on.
Yeah. According to this, he has 21.8 million followers. And at this point, there's just a little over 216,000. Well, actually, I didn't even look.
There are 351,000 followers. Okay, 351,000.
And now 351,001, because Kat will follow it. Followed it.
I
immediately did this. Mashable points out that there is this half onion can continue to attract followers at its current rate. It could tie Trump by April of this year. Besides attempting to beat Trump on his favorite social media platform, the half onion in a bag is gleefully trolling the notoriously thin-skinned leader of the free world. The unidentified human behind the Twitter account is letting the onion do the talking for now, but did tell CNET.com the goal is to add a new flavor to the current political climate. Quote, I want to make some noise and make some people laugh in the process because I think we're going to all need a good dose of humor to get through this. for heaven's sakes. Well, now, some of the people have been tweeting pictures, and here's the onion, and the caption says, I have a better cabinet than Trump does.
All right, I'm a follower.
So follow. Once again, it's what...
Adobe! I found a new hero.
So again, if you do to Twitter, half onion in a bag, you can also follow it and hope to outdo the dumpster fire. Plain and simple.
I'm going to jingle bell your ass right out
of
here.
There's that.
Good Lord.
Ryer.
Yeah.
Adobe!
is that our word?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Tourette's. Sorry.
No, Adobe.
All right.
Adult onset.
So Hillary wore white to the inauguration. And there was the fact that she was even there. I was telling Buddy on Saturday, the fact that she could even go was good on her.
I hope she was drunk.
I really meant what I said. I wish that she had taken out.
I feel like
out,
purse wine would be a thing.
Oh, yeah. I wish that she had had just a straw, just once, and kind of, you know, done one of, like, a spitball to the back of that bastard's head. But, you know.
We went somewhere completely different with what we were doing with the
straw.
Okay,
you're right. I was with you, Al. I'm like, okay, Marnie.
Wait, maybe that's what he was yelling at Melania about.
Maybe.
Maybe he got hit in the back of the head.
He might have. Like, he thought it was
her. He does not like her.
Mm-mm. No, she does not like him.
I don't blame her.
And why would
you? Feelings him? Mutual.
Yeah.
Right. It's a two-way street.
She turned heads as she showed up at the inauguration wearing a white Ralph Lauren pantsuit and coat.
The pantsuit is not the surprise here,
not
right?
Not the surprise at all, no. The color is of the women's suffrage movement, and many interpreted Clinton's outfit as a symbolic and solid nod of solidarity to the women that were marching over the weekend as well. It became a color of support for her throughout her campaign when she came out at the president or the
DNC when she accepted the nomination.
She came out, and even though she has never commented on the fashion choice, why would she? You know,
right,
she's not a
some things are better left unsaid.
Many felt inspired, and that there was the glass, the grassroots movement to hashtag wear white to vote last year. That was the big thing. Anyway, during this morning's inaugural, or that Friday morning's inaugural events, Clinton tweeted about her choice to attend the ceremony. She said, I'm here today to honor democracy and its enduring values. I will never stop believing in our country and its future. On the same hand, people noticed that she wore that, and it became a thing. There was something where she had a cape as well. And I was trying to look that up, and I'm not finding it. But what I had understood, I don't remember who told me that.
It wasn't me.
There was something about a cape that she wore as well, a white cape that went with it, and that was a nod to the suffragette movement.
Oh, I did not see
and
that.
And so, but I have been trying to find that, and I'm not, so that might have been just a big fucking lie. Trump's daughters, Ivanka and Tiffany, you know, the oft not spoken of one.
Yeah.
Also wore, but you tried to get a free haircut or something.
That yeah. Was like, oh, yeah. That was delightful.
Do you know who my daddy is? Also, they also wore white to the ceremony, though neither of them really
knew why.
Yeah, they wouldn't have any idea.
Well, they thought they were marrying daddy because he finds them hot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good piece of ass. Well, the one.
What a weird show we're having.
The one.
So far.
Of course it is. Anyway, but I just thought that was wonderful that, you know, that she was able to be there and that she's not going to stop believing in our country and its future, even though.
Because she shows up and answers questions when you ask. Like, mm-hmm. She's a class act.
She is, absolutely.
But she killed 40 people.
And I.
With her bare hands?
Of course she did.
Yeah.
Of course she did.
Of course she did.
She's going to try to save our country,
she used
but she couldn't
car.
Save Benghazi.
Cat doesn't get that so far.
Somebody explain Adobe to me.
We'll get it in a minute.
There's a car ad for an Adobe car. German engineering meets Mexican know-how in a car that you mold yourself and
not of clay.
SNL from 86. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
We showed the commercial earlier.
I love it.
We'll sure to get banned for it.
I'm into it.
All right.
So, the end. It was just a very, I just was impressed, as always, with her. She just really did. She showed up and she was great. So
she was. I'm gonna take over now from the story because apparently that one's not done. Okay. You seem to, your wind is going out of your sails for some reason. I'm not sure what's going on with you. We'll figure it out. Some people, you know, read more slowly than others. I do. I'm a terrible reader because I have to go back over and over because my mind wanders and I think of stuff. But the San Francisco Public Library's newest book is actually one of its oldest books.
Shut the front door.
More than a century old, this book is. The book was actually checked out of the library in 1917 by Phoebe Dickinson Webb, according to ABC 7 out of San Francisco. Ironically, the book's title, 40 Minutes Late, is a collection of short stories that took a long time to come back to the library. Dickinson's great-granddaughter, Judy Wells, hopes that people give her dearly departed relatives some slack, since Dickinson was 83 when she borrowed the book 100 years ago. She died, obviously, before the book's due date.
Seconds later.
She died before the book's due date, and it's hard to come back as a ghost to return the library book, she says. Another great-grandchild, Webb Johnson, found the book in a trunk of Dickinson's things back in 1996, and he kept it for a while, and even read it himself, he told the San Francisco Chronicle.
I'm about to read that book.
Head city librarian Luis Herrera didn't read The Family of the Riot Act for keeping the book out for 100 years. He was just happy to get it back. The current,
really, was he?
The current fine rate for books is 10 cents a day, which would work out to $3,650, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. However, the library's current amnesty program...
according to math.
Yeah.
The library's
didn't take into effect
current
years.
Amnesty program for overdue books means that Dickinson's descendants will not have to pay the fine at all. Now, 100 years later, it's possible that the book, again, titled 40 Minutes Late, could go back into circulation or be put on display. Dickinson's great-grandson, Webb Johnson, recommends that the display be done. I really enjoyed reading it. He said it's one of the reasons I held on to it for so long.
Did the guy really say he was just happy to get it back?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what a librarian's supposed to say.
They're thrilled.
I was happy to get it. Oh, back.
Back.
In the back.
In the back.
In the back
door. In the butt, Bob.
The back, Bob. The
Adobe.
It's not that popular. It didn't come up in my Google search.
What?
40 Seconds Late? Was that the name of the book?
Minutes.
40 Minutes Late.
Fuck it.
Do you have
the
a picture
of
that I sent
The story of young
you?
Girl's unexpected pregnancy.
Do I have a picture of what?
A picture that I sent you.
When did you send it?
I don't know.
The 40 minutes when one woman thought she was pregnant.
Messenger.
That's funny.
I'm there. Gonna.
Thank you.
I didn't know if it came through.
Thanks for being here.
What the fuck is this?
So Fisher Price.
Oh, God damn.
Fisher Price has given the baby something to do. Given the baby something to do.
There's been
so much talk about the uteri this weekend.
Oh, you know, mine in particular.
Exactly. This has been touted as the perfect tool for entertaining and stimulating the fetus during gestation. Fisher Price announced the release Wednesday of a new in utero activity gym. Whether they're batting at the friendly toucans in order to harden their cartilage into bone or tapping the multicolored light up palm tree to test out their sense of vision once their eyes open at 28 weeks. The Fisher-Price Rainforest Friends Prenatal Activity Gym is guaranteed to give your fetus a head start and keep it happy and occupied. Adding that the 8 different preloaded songs will help fetuses grow the, I'm not even going to, thalamic?
Sure.
Sure.
Your
brain, exactly. Brain connections needed to process sound. It all pops.
Ophthalmic?
Hypothalamic? Is that what it was?
Jackal. Is it a jackal?
Is it a jackal? Was the word Adobe. Adobe?
It may have been.
Our baby's Adobe made of mud.
Adobe brain connections.
No, nope, allegedly.
The clay. Just the clay. It all pops right into the uterus with the included laparoscopic installation kit and can easily be adjusted as the fetus continues to grow more cell tissue. Once the cell develops, or once the fetus develops into a viable infant and is finally delivered, the placenta is simply expelled as afterbirth. At press time, Fisher-Price was rapidly recalling the placenta for pinching off umbilical cords and depriving fetuses of oxygen. But... and he had a, there, so there was wrong. A picture at some point. I cracked up. I thought, well, that's
oh my God,
that one's a
while
that's
they
a
play YMCA in the belly or Macho Man. Yeah,
it this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's
yep, it's good stuff.
Oh Jesus,
it's very good stuff. In utero fetal activity gym. All Fisher right. Price comes up with everything. Sorry, Mr. McKay, I should have gotten you that before. I don't know why.
Yeah, because it jacked up everything when I tried to go to it. So clearly that's not going to work for us tonight.
Sorry.
All right.
And now that looks like shit. Great. Oh, where was I?
I look amazing. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to need... because I have
well,
to...
how many filters are on that?
Does
for
it
you?
I look how thin I look. How filtered is that?
A lot.
Cat prefers them to smear better. Mayonnaise on the lens.
Listen, it works.
Okay, because this one I need pictures for. So this, now we're good. All right.
Do you need them? For, am I responsible for those?
No.
Was I supposed to bring those pictures?
No, you aren't supposed to do anything. Okay, you've done enough, early.
I'm sure I
Adobe.
Have. I'm sure I have.
A Southern California man named Bob, who is a 32-year-old father
In
of
the
children,
Bob,
was watching his 2-year-old daughter play with a set of plastic animals that she got for Christmas when he decided to pick one up, maybe play along with her. He happened to choose a horse. Let me show you a picture of the lovely horse. Look at this little horse. Look at a cute little guy right there. Picked her. He innocently turned it over, made quite a discovery. Apparently he did. And let me show you what... he's very busy over there in SoCal. Turned over and found that. he found the
anatomically
toys.
Anatomically correct.
He found the toy's detail especially odd for this particular reason. It looks like a human dick, he says in a quote. Not a horse dick. I defy you to tell the difference, sir. I'd like to know what criteria you know about those two things. Bob would like his last name to remain anonymous, he told the Huffington Post. He also noted that other toys in the set lacked genitals, unlike the horse. The gorilla, the lion, the zebra, the giraffe, the pig, and the sheep. None of them have dicks, he said. Only the horse. Finding the whole thing bizarre.
Well,
finding the whole thing bizarre and funny, he decided to take a few pictures of the horse and post them on Twitter. The photos soon went viral, receiving 15,000 likes and more than 10,000 retweets. I'm probably doing a little bit better than that onion we talked about earlier. He says, "I don't."
The horse cock, of course it is.
Right. He says, "I don't think 10,000."
Know your audience.
He goes, "I don't think 10,000 people would retweet an animal penis." He told Huffington Post, and the folks who retweeted said, "His." He retweeted and said, pigs had feelings and opinions about these different things. One said it was a choking hazard.
that's
one other man tweeted and said, when people say I'm hung like a horse, they mean this horse. The toy, according to the description, printed on the horse's belly is made by a company called Batat. But Batat is not to be the only company that appears to be adding this not safe for work detail to animal figures. Chris McGonigal, a photo editor at the Huffington Post, recently noticed that some of his son's plastic animal toys made by a company called Terra have this feature as well, and Terra has expanded beyond horses. For example, where's that goddamn...
For example.
So according to, they have a giraffe, and the giraffe also has a little gift on the down under. And also, this lion. So you go to the lion, also has... little something extra there. I thought it was very odd that they Put that on.
This is kind of sexy.
Here's the thing.
I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
This is just custom built for the internet. The internet, as you well know, is for porn. And really was built... But really, 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 the very basic foundation of the internet is dick jokes.
Like, I thought it was cat videos.
Well, you know, the cat videos came later.
Because you need a moment to recover from your last porn session.
Right,
so you got to watch some cat videos, yeah. Think about something else.
Cleanse the palate.
Watch some porn, tell a couple of dick jokes, cleanse the palate, watch the kittens. I made the mistake.
Wait, cleanse the palate, wash the kittens. Sounds like an activity to do alone.
They're the salting
in your
crackers.
Adobe.
Yeah.
Oh, in your Adobe.
In your own personal Adobe.
The salting crackers of a porn marathon. Just cleansing the palate between bukkake shots.
And listen, if you need it, I may have made the mistake of watching a live stream of a room full of kittens. And so now YouTube thinks that's all I want to watch. So all of my recommended videos are now just live streams of kittens.
And you're not
going to
correct them.
And I'm what else am I going to do?
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. What else am I going to do?
Check out Horsecock or whatever that is.
I'm going to Google it right now.
I want you to, Betty, if you would have only brought a device to look things up on.
I've got my phone.
Oh, that's true. You do. There it's just a smaller screen.
I was going to stop off and get my laptop at home, but I didn't have time.
I want you to Google Horsecock, buddy, and then report back to us. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Meanwhile.
Well, Ass Clown went so well. How can Horsecock?
Oh, shit. Terrifying.
I already feel like the NSA is watching me. So
and Chris Hansen.
Oh, God. It changed it to Horsecom. No!
Oh!
So, the first thing that comes up with horsecock, which I spelled as one word,
of course,
traditional spelling.
I don't think I could even say that on this show.
Why? Oh.
The first thing that comes up is from a site called pervertslut.com.
Oh,
and the headline is "Never before seen slutty teacher taking a big horsecock deep in her."
Oh, there's
see,
that.
See you next
and her
Tuesday.
Adobe.
Here, see you next Tuesday. That came up second. First it changed it to horse cock.
Her Adobe. Let's just make Adobe our code word for anything we can't say on here. She took it in the Adobe.
Hey, be afraid.
I just sent you a lovely picture that I found on the internet from my...
I don't know if I can get through.
Startling.
Would you like to start your entertainment section?
Oh.
Are you ready for that or no?
Oh, yeah, sure. I need
the
off
the confidence
page.
With which you looking at the horse cock.
Yeah.
That went wrong fast.
It's not cute. No.
You've never had a segment.
I can't imagine it going right.
I gotta jingle bell that away.
We haven't had a segment from Al Perkins like this since last January. Boys and girls, it's the Oscars.
Here it is. Records were broke. No, repeated.
Right.
There were a couple of big snubs.
Was the record broken?
Yeah. We got to tell which one.
We got a record. It's kind of a sad record.
Okay. Meryl Streep now just calls Oscar nomination day Tuesday because it happens every fucking time. I've got a movie review and something to not look for there, and some couple things from Netflix to watch for viewing pleasure.
Al Perkins, ladies and gentlemen.
So go over the easy stuff first. On Netflix, I finally watched The Crown, which started off a little dry for me.
Did you love it after a while?
Yeah, and it really does handle some stuff. I mean, I remember the blank stares as I brought up. King Edward and Mrs. Simpson once, and the whole room stared at me like I just described bad cheese. So it was good.
I love cheese. I would never stare at you about cheese either.
Bad cheese.
So
it was left in your Adobe
overnight. No.
Yeah, it was left in your Adobe.
You just cut off the movie
parts. So it was interesting to see how they handled the abdication of the king and Mrs. Simpson. And I thought that was beautifully handled. And John Lithgow and...
Brilliant.
He can't get better. Every time I think it's... I never thought he would top Dexter and how good he was as the Trinity Killer on Dexter. But I got to tell you, his Winston Churchill was just phenomenal and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And he was acting his ass off. And the fact that he's playing you have one of the tallest actors working in Hollywood besides Jeff Goldblum playing one of the shortest
leaders. Playing a short, fat man.
Yeah. is really, and the way he did it with the hunch to kind of get across that maybe Winston Churchill was secretly 6'5". That it's very good. And then a movie that I liked, but I guess no one else did, the A Series of Unfortunate Events. Is that what
I haven't watched it yet. The with Neil Patrick Harris?
No, but the original movie with Jim Carrey. With Jim Carrey that I actually got to see on, isn't it Jiminy Snicket or something?
Lemony Snicket.
Yeah, that guy.
Because I read the books.
And I thought that I saw it on an airplane and I actually enjoyed the movie. Well, now they've done the series on Netflix with Neil Patrick Harris and it's getting great reviews. So make that your next binge watch. Give it a whirl.
I went to start it last night and then realized as the credits were playing that I just didn't have the attention span, so I had to turn it off. Yeah. You ever do that? You turn on the TV and be like, I'm actually not paying attention to this, and yeah. I want to, so I got to come back another day.
And that's
day.
What I kept doing with The Crown, because I'd be like, well, I know this story. And then they would do something interesting with it, and I'm like, oh, but I like
but
the way you're
different.
Yeah, like the way you're handling this. And I loved the...
The girl that plays Elizabeth.
Spot on.
I love her.
No. Spot on. Claire Foy? Do I have that right?
Yep.
Really? I mean, the fact that she just twists her face around and looks like her is... Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Looks like her, sounds like her.
And the story of
out.
Princess Margaret, very interesting. Uh-huh. And I think there's a couple of facts I think they played a little fast and loose with. But
and the monarchy
really
won't
well
comment
done.
On it.
No, and so there's a lot of it that you wonder, how could you possibly know that? This is the most tight-lipped people in the world. Like, there's things about her education you might find out from other people. But there's a lot of those behind-closed-doors conversations.
Some of that you think they just made them up.
Yeah, that you're just wondering, like... You know, and Prince Philip was a bit of a playboy at first and, you know, wasn't really wanted because of his suspicious background. It's very well done. And so the next thing I think I'm going to watch is the Neil Patrick Harris in anything. Mm-hmm. And I've just heard that he's just hit it out of the park. Like, this is his big return to the performing arts.
I don't think that there's much he can do wrong.
It's starting to feel more and more like that. Yeah. Like, he just seems to have a knack for whatever he does.
And it's super wide-ranging. I mean, he's funny. He's very serious. He's singing.
Yeah, the singing voice. And I've seen him live and stuff. And then I, like, on TV, I saw him with the New York Philharmonic doing Company. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very good. And he did the Sweeney Todd and the, like, 2001 with Patti LuPone and the concert for the San Francisco Philharmonic.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And, you know, he played Toby, a little too old, a little too tall, but, I mean, pulled it off and with a lovely voice. And
Hedwig,
just fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just worked that crowd and kind of acted like a stand-up comedian. Like, it really is a stand-up act that sings, you know, because it's just him alone with a band.
Yeah, and very
the
smart.
Band.
Very good.
Gets that shit done. Mm-hmm. I will have to tell you, if you go see Split and go see it, it is really good. It's not really a horror movie. It's really more of a psychological thriller. You're kind of tense, but there's no, like, people jumping out at you, like, boo scary. But there is no twist. There is nothing.
No,
there
really?
Is nothing to look for in this movie.
Oh, I thought I'd heard there was. Okay.
There is, but you're never going to get it, and it has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay.
It has it's like at the end of the credits, they showed you that it was Carr Malden for Amex. You know what I mean? Like, it just had nothing. It has nothing to do with the movie.
Interesting.
So don't waste your time watching the movie trying to figure out, like, ooh, is he imaginary? Is this person not there? Because it kind of took me out of the experiences. I'm like, ooh, is the girl really him? Is he really the girl? Is this all in her imagination? Is that Dev Patel shirtless again? Oh, no, that's just me masturbating.
Yeah.
Adobe.
Can't get that out of my head. But I love that for some reason M. Night... Shyamalan, I'm not sure.
Shyamalama ding dong.
Yep.
Ramalama.
Bam bing.
There's that.
He likes Betty Buckley, and so do I. So I can't disagree with his choices.
Oh, well.
Once again, he has put Betty Buckley in a large,
right.
A very large role, very meaty, and she's so good. Because, I mean, like you're like three credits of the way through the movie, and you're like, so Betty Buckley.
Stepmom, eight is enough.
What you been doing? Well, cats.
Yeah, totally.
She's a cat, for the love of God. What's she doing on here? But it's a great use of casting because you forget this bitch can act, and she's really
I've always
quite
thought
good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she really, and she has to hold that whole movie together.
Carrie.
Yeah, right, because she's helping you. Yeah. And that's what I thought. I was like, oh, that's right, she got her start, her...
Shyamalan.
Sure. Shyamalan. Yeah. I know that it's not, but it's because I've been, it's kind of like Pedro Almodovar. I said his name wrong for so long that I can't fix it because the accent's in a different place than I always put it. So now I say it without any inflection whatsoever. Almodovar.
Almodovar.
I just mumble my way through it. Shyamalan.
Anant is mad at you.
I know, I know. I'm so sorry. And he has a cameo, which he does in every movie. But Betty Buckley, back. And,
yep.
And let her sing. Wow. And she seems to me the only one left at the right age if they decide to make the movie of the musical of Sunset Boulevard. Let's just put her in it.
Wouldn't that be... Well...
Because I'd rather kill myself than watch Patti LuPone sing on screen. And many people don't want to watch Glenn Close sing.
Yeah.
So I think we can all compromise on
that
Betty
Buckley.
That
would be a nice compromise.
Yeah. And I have a friend that saw Betty Buckley do it like 3 or 4 times and said she was amazing. So there we go. Gotcha. But more importantly than all of this, the Academy Award nominations came out this mañana. And La La Land has...
This tomorrow?
Yes. No, it also means morning.
Does it?
Yeah, it means morning as well as tomorrow, depending on how you use it in a sentence. So Lin-Manuel Miranda is our first setup on this. He was nominated for an Oscar today for writing the song for Moana. And so he will be, if he wins, the youngest person
that makes
to ever
him EGOT.
EGOT.
Yep.
The youngest and the quickest.
And the quickest, yeah. His time between first award and fourth will be...
8 years?
9 years, I believe.
Yeah.
2008 was 2008, in the heights.
Yeah. It's odd you say that because I was just listening to the Moana soundtrack the other day because it came up in my stuff. I'm like,
it's good.
It's a Disney soundtrack. I mean, it's going to be good. So yeah. I just started playing it and doing other stuff.
And you were listening to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is a voice in that movie, which I didn't know, or at least
yeah, you know what?
Credit him with that.
So what happened, what was he on that I was listening to? I think it was his maybe NPR interview. Anyway, something I was listening to, and he said that like that was not originally the plan, but then the powers that be heard his demo and said, you know what, we love how you sound in this song.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We're going to keep you. Like, we're just going to keep your voice in this song because we like how you sound. We like, you know, the feeling of it and the cadence
of it. That's how you got
to
Disney.
And there
movie.
It is. Boop, dun, 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 dun.
Wow. Yeah.
Bada bing.
Fell into a fucking Disney soundtrack.
Well, because he wrote all
the
music,
yeah.
And so he would, you know, have submitted the demos in his own voice.
Sure.
And they, you know, listened to them all and cast them all, but they left him in.
And that one.
In, I Know Who We Are. Or I Know. Yeah, yeah, the one with all the boats.
Yeah. Something like that. So he has the chance, and he would beat Robert Lopez, who wrote Avenue Q and the Book of Mormon and Frozen. He wrote, you know, Let It Go, and that's how he got his EGOT. Was he?
I still can't let it go.
No, can't either. That song starts, and I got to do something.
I'm
on
doing
a tower.
The whole thing, yep. And I'm throwing ice at people. Like it's not even funny. It's a whole thing. I do it at the bar all the time.
You
and
should.
I do.
Justin Timberlake is nominated for Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls.
Oh, sure.
So now he has now... He could go 3 out of 4. He could be on his way to the... Without the...
Because he doesn't have a Tony.
Tony,
right?
Ego. Yeah. Just the ego.
Just the ego.
Right.
Oh.
I'm sure he's
no comment.
He's young enough, and I think he's talented enough a songwriter that could be in his future. Or who knows, he could be in Hedwig the Revival 20 years from now. Hedwig has a walker.
Right.
But I thought that was kind of exciting, and people were kind of like not loving on that song, and I like there can be pop songs in this
right.
category.
Yeah.
You can have something from the radio like you used to where
sure.
like 1 year every song was a pop hit. So you knew all the songs nominated.
It yeah, there
like
used
a,
to be.
It wasn't
you knew
a thrilled
the
singer from Tibet screaming in a microphone.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I mean, go back to this, particularly like the 70s. That category was mostly songs that you knew from the radio.
Oh, You Light Up My Life, The Year of Hopelessly Devoted to You, Last Dance. 78. It has Nobody Does It Better by Carly Simon. Uh-huh. I mean, that year is just chock full of hits.
Sure.
And then even a couple of Melissa Manchester weepers are really good. The one from The Promise, the one from, you know, I mean, she had a couple good years mm-hmm. there. So, I mean, that I like that song. Like, I like Can't Stop the Feeling more than I like either song from La La Land.
Well, for sure. I do, too.
Yeah. I have no idea how it fits into Trolls because I haven't seen it.
I haven't either. And I'm assuming, because I have seen La La Land, that, you know, one of those songs is going to win because they are more important to
the
movie.
Right. And they do the job that you're supposed to do. They are part of the plot, like...
Audition.
Pimp. What's the pimp?
Oh, Audition.
Oh, right.
Hustle and Flow. It's hard up here for a pimp. Yeah. It actually was what the plot was about.
But
that was the
that, I'm still sore about that win because it beat Traveling Through.
Right, right. Dolly Parton just can't win an Oscar. She's had all kinds of chances. She's, you know, she should be an EGOT winner, too,
because
she's been nominated for a Tony and for an Oscar, but she's lost twice. Poor darling. So,
poor darling.
Poor darling. So, La La Land, 14 nominations, ties the record with...
Chicago.
No.
No, Chicago only had 13.
Oh. Yeah, it ties the record with All About Eve and with Titanic. The bad news for Emma Stone is that the three actresses nominated in those movies all lost.
Here's my thing about Emma Stone, and I think
I'm okay with Emma Stone not winning.
She's probably considered the favorite, yeah. I would say. However, for me, I thought Ryan Gosling was better than her in the movie.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a chance.
But that's my thing, is like, he's not going to win, so no, she can't win.
Yeah. This is not her movie. I honestly, it's not her year, and the big snub that we have to talk about is Amy Adams.
I'm stunned.
That Arrival, the movie that I thought I was the only person that liked, and when I like found out that people loved it, and like she's been nominated everywhere, and the movie gets 8 nominations in a movie that's all about Amy Adams.
I am very rarely stunned at Oscar nominations because I tend to be like, all right, that's their choice.
Yeah.
Of you know the slate of nominees, I was stunned this morning. Because I actually thought she might be the favorite to beat Emma Stone.
Because they owe her. It would be her 6th nomination. She would join that league of 6 nominations.
Of course, I'm also someone who thinks Annette Bening should have at least 2 Oscars by now.
Right.
And I wish she had been nominated, but I'm kind of okay with her not being nominated. The film wasn't that big. She was brilliant in it. I saw it last night. But for some reason, I'm okay with her not getting the nomination.
Yeah.
Amy Adams, though, I'm blown away. Still.
Because how can it be best director, best screenplay, best score, and every scene of the movie is her face? Mm-hmm. Like, she's in every single scene of the movie. So either you like the movie enough to give it 8 nominations, but you didn't like the person that gave it to you? Like, I really don't understand. I was completely shocked. Plus, she's lovely. Plus, she was due. And it's a year with a lot of moving pieces.
Exactly.
That they could have been like, this is your 6th nomination.
I think
here's an Oscar. You carried a sci-fi movie with very little other people that's very light on the science fiction. This is your Oscar. It's so it's such an emotional
I think with
part.
The nomination, everything would have come together for her victory.
Yeah.
But and now that category is like, I could see it going any one of 3, possibly more ways.
Yeah. All the movies are very melancholy this year. They're either melancholy like La La Land or just outright fucking sad.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a happy ending where people are snot bubbling around you like Lion, where it's a delightful ending.
Very different.
But people
happy
are
ending.
Sobbing so hard into their sleeves that you can't hear the ending dialogue. And I have to say about Lion, I'm a little disappointed to find. I went in that knowing nothing. I had not seen the 60 Minutes. I didn't know if it was a true story or not. Mm. I knew nothing.
Oh, really?
So when those closing.
You didn't know?
Facts.
Yeah, when they do the little epilogue of the words on the screen, and I could tell that a lot of people in the audience didn't know.
I don't know anything about
it. Because, and you gave away one of the spoilers last week that I won't, because to me it was a big deal. But it doesn't come across, if you saw the 60 Minutes, and it doesn't come across as a spoiler.
Which was, what was the spoiler?
Well, he said he's not going to give it away.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it sounds like it's the thing, one of the things that they promoted the movie about. Regarding, like,
just his name, just the fact that he doesn't know his name, and when you find out what his name was, like that to me.
Oh,
was,
that got it.
Yeah,
got
that
it.
To me.
We'll have to recap
when that screen came up, and like, and I read that. I mean, that was when I just gasped
because you're like, well, why is this called that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's exactly
got
what
it.
That
okay.
was.
Okay. I didn't realize that was
because I remember, and I like to go to movies knowing nothing. Like Doug and I stood in line for Silence of the Lambs, and I'm like. And I had read Red Dragon, but I hadn't read Silence of the Lambs yet. So I'm like, what the fuck is this title about? He's like, I don't know. She dreams about lambs or something, and she's waiting for them to stop screaming. I'm like, oh, so she's a farmer. I mean, that was literally the conversation as we sat down, because we knew nothing.
She's a farmer.
And I wouldn't read anything about Split yesterday either. Like, I read no reviews.
I would have liked to have been the reporter that interviewed you right after leaving that theater. What did you go in expecting, and how do you feel now?
Because I was screaming. So, best director, Lion does not make best director, even though it got the DGA, but Mel Gibson, I guess, has been forgiven by Hollywood.
I guess so, yeah.
He gets a best director nod for Hacksaw Ridge, which a movie I did not want to watch. I went to see it because people were saying it was going to show up at awards time, and I ended up loving it. And
Al,
I hated myself for loving it.
I had to drag myself there. I got pick my shirt collar. Go see this, buddy. I know you don't want to.
Give me the general premise, that, because I want to say that it's something I thought I... The name tells me I don't like it.
The name is a horrible name for the movie.
But the premise of the movie, I think I enjoy.
He's a conscientious objector.
That's it. Got
to
it.
To the war.
Got
do
it.
Not want to carry a weapon.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I didn't want to see it is the name. The name implies that it's sort of like an event movie about... Which, I mean, it does ultimately end up being about Hacksaw Ridge, but it's about so much more than that. Hacksaw Ridge, to me, that says, oh, it's a movie that's just nothing but a big battle.
Yeah.
And there is a sort of, I think it's Mel Gibson trying to give his Steven Spielberg Saving Private Ryan scene.
Yeah.
Clearly, because it goes on for a long time. But the movie's about so much more than that.
Yeah, and unlike
Saving
Private
Ryan, the movie's about
Ryan,
an idea.
The backside of the outside of Hacksaw Ridge, where once you land on Normandy, Saving Private Ryan is a bunch of people walking around doing Lord of the Rings. This time it's World War II. That movie suffers a lot once you're past the D-Day invasion. But this movie holds up on every side. It really is.
I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
So I was okay with him getting a director nomination because I bought the Ridge. I'm there. Silence did not get any love. No. Suicide Squad got no love for makeup, which everyone was expecting. Deadpool got nothing, and I really thought that was going to be good for a Best Picture nomination and a screenplay adaptation, because I thought that movie was smart and clever and entertaining, and they made me watch a superhero movie more than once. It's been since Batman Returns that I could sit through one of those.
And that's Ryan Reynolds.
Funny.
It feels like that movie was a very long time ago.
It was last February.
That's why I'm like, it seems like it would have been last year's Oscars,
and it would be it would have been the first time since The Silence of the Lambs that a movie released in February would have been nominated for Best Picture. Viggo Mortensen, not a surprise at all. If you saw Captain Fantastic,
I think a lot of people who aren't you and me are like, Viggo Mortensen, really? And I haven't seen the movie, but I know who's in the mix.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen's not a surprise. And if I can interject.
Why don't you?
Please do.
May I just? Yeah. I have two kind of shout-outs I want to give. My good friend Heidi Sulzman, who is an actor in L.A., brilliant, brilliant actor, 2 or 3 years ago, she tied for the L.A. Theater Awards, which is like L.A.'s Tonys. I can't remember what they're called. And she tied for Best Actress with Cicely Tyson. So that's
my friend Heidi. Wasn't she in Portland? No,
that's my friend Dana.
Got it. Okay,
my friend Heidi was in Hell or High Water.
Okay.
They're called the Ovation Awards.
My two favorite movies of the year, Hell or High Water. And my friend Heidi is in that. And everyone in that film is brilliant. So she is excited because her film's nominated for an Oscar. Her partner, Louise Runge, I'm not sure how she pronounces her last name,
European.
Is a producer of Captain Fantastic. So their household
they're like just
on cloud nine today.
Oh,
I love
how
it for them.
Exciting.
I love it for them.
Congratulations.
So, shout out to Heidi
great.
And Louise.
That's
very
awesome.
Exciting. And Captain Fantastic, it's a really interesting look at a man who decides to raise his family completely off the grid, living off the earth, but teaching them about civics and about history, and so they're off the grid, but they're very smart, so they know the land and they're book smart at the
and
same
time. I just missed it for the 15 minutes it was here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so that and those are the two I haven't seen yet. So I need to somehow see those. L is still in theaters.
And I got Captain Fantastic on video. Okay.
I have to see both those. And I'm dying to see Captain Fantastic. I just never had the opportunity, and then it went away, and I don't know.
Happened to be in my queue, came up before the awards started coming out. I watched it, and I was like, that really was really good. And the next day, they're like, and Viggo Mortensen is Best Actor for the Golden Globes. I'm like, wow, that's
good for him.
I have a technical question, and I think you two would probably understand this. Maybe you will as well. I just know that these two are kind of savants with regards to movies. So in the digital age, do they literally not just transfer a file and we see a movie based, or are they still shipping celluloid?
It depends on if it's being shown digitally or it's being shown on film. They will advertise now if you're seeing a digital film. Like, they make a big deal at Esplanade, whether you're seeing a digital film or you're seeing the old reels. But a lot of movies are still made on reels because of the film stock. They want that quality.
And there's a cachet to having that on film.
Oh no, I get it. I appreciate the visual difference. My question is the movies like you're talking about. They're here for 2 minutes. Yeah. My question is why is it? Literally, it must be that that is literally on celluloid. It's not just a file somebody's got, and they couldn't just pull it out and show it again.
They will. And then with Oscar nominations, it will. So what they do is there's a convention coming up in March called Show West in Vegas. And what you do at Show West is you tell Show your movies West. And you... Yeah, oh. Show West. Life is peaceful good. There. So you do Show West, and you just you say how many weeks you're going to devote to a movie. So, like, the new Tom Cruise movie, it may be untitled. But they'll go in and campaign and be like, we want 6 weeks of your theater. You can do 2 weeks with no coupons. And that's literally what you do, is you jockey for how long you're going to do it. And that's where Harkins went under with Cine Capri, because they bid on Hutsucker Proxy. And they said... Fargo, Coen Brothers, always a big hit. We're going to show Hudsucker Proxy for the whole summer. We'll block that out. We'll give you 8 weeks of Hudsucker Proxy. And it bombed. Oh. And they lost their lease. They lost their rent. They had no one taking up that big theater. No one went and saw it, but they had committed. So that's what that's what Show West is about, is, is you jockey for your time in a theater, how many weeks you're going to commit to it based on you think it's a hit. So if something bombs, like if a Will Smith movie bombs, everybody loses, because they have that real estate sold for so many weeks.
Oh, I didn't realize that's how that worked.
And you can shuffle it down to the back theater that you can't see the whole screen.
You know, Will Smith's Independence Day 2 bombs. You can't be like, let's get this out of here.
Yeah,
you've committed to it.
Yeah, so you booked that show.
I did not realize that's how that worked.
Yeah.
So conversely, somebody's going to throw out an independent or an artsy film, whatever.
Like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, that all of a sudden is playing everywhere, and people have got to be like, I've got to clear room because it's a hit.
Right.
And the art houses are the only ones playing it. How do we get our hands on this? And then you got to put Will Smith's movie in the back corner and get My Big Fat Greek Wedding in.
Okay.
Which, you know, a movie theater like Harkins, especially it being local still, for the most part, they have some wiggle room.
They can jockey.
So something showing at Shea, let's say Neruda, which is a movie I'm dying to see at Shea right now, let's say it suddenly went berserk and everybody went to see it. Harkins has some room to be like, okay, well, next week we're going to...
We won't show Star Wars on 10 screens.
And Superstition Springs and Chandler Mall.
Because they don't commit to like 10 screens of Star Wars. They can cut it down. If Star Wars didn't work, they could have cut it down to 2 screens. Mm-hmm. But they have to keep it for that length of time. And then something that came along. Like La La Land shouldn't be making $80 million pre-Oscars. Like, this movie's a bona fide hit worldwide. They're already $100 million straight profit. And the nominations came out today.
Oh.
This movie's working on its own merits. It's word of mouth. So the fact that they made this lovely musical that the critics love and people are just masturbating to is a giant worldwide hit. It's almost unstoppable at this point.
Oh,
because now the people that were resisting it are going to get the most nominations in Oscar history. Your friends all love it. Everyone is telling you to go see it. And now people are going to be like, I guess we got to go see that fucking La La Land movie. La La Land.
Okay. I didn't realize that's how the movie, the theater in business works.
Yeah, when you go into the details like that, like Show West and how the business side, it sort of takes a lot of the glamour out of the whole thing, so...
Well, no, I do realize it's a business. I just didn't realize that they bid for time and they'll show it on X amount of screens for however long, regardless of how well it does.
Yeah, and you got to jockey it down, and that's why they stopped having the little 2 and 3 movie palaces where you only had a choice of 2 movies. That's why they had to go to 12 and 15 movies, because if you booked into it and they bombed, you were fucked.
Okay,
so that's why those big houses that showed one movie, if it wasn't Titanic and you weren't filling every seat.
Okay,
which ironically was the last movie shown at Cine Capri.
So
by that time Harkins like making buku bucks off of Titanic, but it was too little too late.
Really like the ship had already sunk by the literally. That iceberg, there was no ship.
Wait, that happens every time?
The other big snub was Tom Hanks for Sully. Even though he really had not gotten any attention, this is the third time he's carried a movie by himself. The one where he played Walt Disney, where he was wonderful, that Saving Mr. Banks, that got snubbed all over the place.
Emma Thompson,
I never saw that movie.
It was so delightful.
Emma Thompson was a huge snub then.
Huge snub. And then Captain Phillips. He is Captain Phillips. And it's about Captain Phillips.
Right.
And you nominated it for Best Picture. You nominated the supporting actor. What about the captain?
Oh, and he had one of the, most, from that year, one of the most amazing acting scenes. Jobs in one scene.
The ones that
that it was probably the best scene of any actor
when
had
he gets
that
checked
year.
Out by the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I still
oh,
get,
I'm just getting chills thinking about that.
Just one of the best.
Ugh.
And that's when you're like, god damn, he can fucking act.
And since we're talking about best scenes for an actor all year, I referenced it a little bit earlier. Trevante Rhodes in Moonlight, who I would have been thrilled to see get a nomination as well. He played adult Chiron.
Oh,
when he
perfect.
Utters that line at the end, and oh. I'm not going to say the line because it's so gorgeous, and my heart sank, and I was just devastated. This actor has he was a former college track star, and he's gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, loverly.
Has two amazing scenes, one with Naomi Harris, who I didn't know was Miss Moneypenny. I didn't make that connection.
Oh, no, because she looks like such a hot fucking mess.
And then with, who's the guy?
The guy
Andre
from
Holland.
Andre Holland. From,
those two scenes
American
he has
Crime
at
Story.
The end, and he utters this line. I wish I could say it, but I'm not because it ruins. It like sums up the
what
whole movie.
What actor are we talking about?
Trevante Rhodes is his name. And
I'm gonna try to look him up.
It's just that he has that scene. I'm
and
like,
you
this
have
is the
this,
most amazing
this,
scene.
This movie that's kind of about bullying. And it's about someone who's been bullied, and it makes it very hard to watch. If you've ever experienced bullying, it hits too close to home. They get bullying just too spot on the money that the first third of the movie
he is cute
just is upsetting, and at the end when you find out, like, you're just you're either melancholy or you're fucking heartbroken. Finding Dory was not nominated for best animated feature or best picture despite being the biggest grossing and like a beloved movie. Like, there are no bad reviews for Finding Dory that I could find, so I was very surprised by that. And then two movies this year that I did not enjoy. Nocturnal Animals, because Tom Ford should stop making movies. I don't enjoy him at all. I didn't enjoy the last middle-aged gay man porn. And this one, just a terrible screenplay and a screenplay device in the middle that I wanted to stand up and just call Tom Ford and be like, pause this fucking movie and tell me where you got that bad idea, because I need an apology to everyone for that shit.
I encourage you to call.
So
I do too.
I was very surprised, very happy that there was no director or screenplay nominations for Tom Ford and that bullshit. Especially, have you seen Nocturnal Animals?
I actually liked it.
The abortion drove me fucking. I wanted to kick everybody in the head for that abortion scene. It's not in the novel. It makes no sense.
You're right.
What are you going for?
Sense.
It's
does,
just the
right.
shock to
you're
say.
Right.
I saw Cabaret once, and an abortion makes an interesting
you're
plot
right.
twist. Like, there was, it was useless. There's an abortion in that movie that doesn't need to happen, and it makes no sense. Carries no one along. No
it's
one.
It's terrible.
It lightens somebody's load, however. But anyway,
somebody call Mike Pence.
So yes, exactly.
Right.
Because that needed to be buried. So, but Michael Shannon. But the good thing about it is Jake Gyllenhaal is very very good.
Yeah.
And I think it's what cost Amy Adams her nomination, because the company that made that was pushing her for best actress there, and they think she may.
I think what cost Amy Adams the nomination is Donald Trump's. Tweeting about Meryl Streep, because I don't think Meryl Streep was in the five.
Oh yeah, she's been nominated everywhere.
But I don't think she was this year. I think she was like right on the outside, or she was a bubble, but she got pushed in by Donald Trump.
And I think she's got a chance at a fourth win.
You think for
just,
this?
Just stand on stage and tell Trump off again.
For that reason, you might be
I
right.
I think him calling her overrated in response to her asking him for compassion, I think there's a chance that Oscar voters are going to be like, you got one more shot, lady.
There you go. Lifetime
the
achievement.
Fuck off.
Top that.
Right. Yeah. So there really is that. So we'll just go through a couple. So Nocturnal Animals, and then I think I described it to you today. It was a Jessica Lange / Kathleen Turner 1987.
And I know exactly what you are getting at by saying that.
Yeah. Like, it's a very specific genre movie where this woman makes, and maybe it's my own repressed sexual repressions, whatever you want to say, that I just thought she was making. Like, that's a bad choice, lady.
And is it correct to call it a black comedy?
Not at all. It's not.
So I've heard seen people reference.
There's a couple of
is that
uncomfortable.
A blomity?
There's a couple.
Blamity?
A couple of uncomfortable laughs.
Okay.
There.
I'm trying to help.
But mostly you're just horrified.
Really?
You're just horrified by, like, really that? She makes some really strange choices, but it's all her. So the year of Beasts of the Southern
Wild,
where no one was really the lead actress in the movie, like Amore. Emmanuel Riva, suck my dick.
Right.
You are not the lead actress. You went into a coma a quarter of the way through, and the rest of the time you lay there in a coma.
Right.
Actors don't like playing coma. Shows no range. So for people to say it was this beautiful, soulful performance, she's laying in a fucking bed.
You're right.
You took her dialogue away an hour ago, and I'm still sitting here watching this movie. No, that's not the best actress. And that's the year with Silver Linings Playbook. Jessica Jennifer, whatever her name is, Garner, yeah. Lee,
Law.
Haas,
J-Law.
Lawrence.
J-Law. Lovely, not the lead in that movie in any way, shape, or form. The only one in that category that year that was the lead actress of the movie was the little girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild, and I didn't understand that movie.
I didn't either.
I was like, what the fuck? But she's in every scene, you know, so she should probably win.
She did what the director said. It's like, run, cry, yeah, cry. Scream, you know. She did
but
it.
In every scene.
Yeah.
So this year, the best actress nominees, everyone is really the lead actress. Meryl Streep, Florence Foster Jenkins. Think what you want about it. She's delightful, and she makes you care about
she's
this
great,
woman.
Of course.
She sells this role, well, and she's in makeup. She's not playing herself. She's not Jack Nicholson playing another version of Jack Nicholson. It's Meryl Streep taking on a whole other person, and you're delighted by her.
I thought, Clayton, she reminded me of that gal that you have the records of.
Oh, Miss Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
And that's what it reminded me of.
And it turns out she might have just been suffering from syphilis, and it might have been a little bit of like... an ear thing from syphilis masked with a little bit of like mental instability, like all the stuff that comes with syphilis, that she could have heard something different. But
all
she really
the stuff
does.
That comes with syphilis.
No, because it really does
it
have
really
a lot
does
of
have a lot of things.
It just, it sounds funny to just say, like it's a package deal.
Yeah. It does. It comes with a lot of shit you don't want. Yeah. Emma Stone in La La Land, and she is the lead actress. I don't know if it's Oscar worthy. But I enjoyed it. Isabel
I enjoyed the movie. She was not my favorite part, but I loved
no.
it.
Didn't she win the Golden Globe?
She won the Golden Globe, right. But she's not up for the Screen Actors Guild, so it's anybody's race this Sunday for the Screen Actors Guild. But Isabel Huppert, she really is the leading, and this movie is all her. Like, everyone else is a supporting to her, so it qualifies in that thing. Ruth Negga for Loving, this is the one that every soulful performance. It's available on iTunes as of today, and it comes out in every other format February 7th. It's about Virginia versus Loving and the country, the right for interracial marriages.
Right. Okay. I remember. Yep,
yeah.
I remember
Natalie Portman for Jackie. This is probably where Natalie Portman gets her second Oscar.
And that's the one that you just weren't huge fan of, right, Clayton? The Jackie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But because you went in thinking it was going to be something different.
I learned things from it. I felt, again, I haven't spent a lot of my life watching documentaries of Jackie O, so I don't know. It felt like it was a parody to me.
And I have to say, because I looked that up afterwards, there are very, 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 very few televised interviews with her in any form. And that's why, like, people... So she's portrayed all the time by other actresses, but the thought... But where you're going to see her be her, very rare. So of the few, you have to kind of get that out of her. So of all the millions of times people have played her... The comments that I was reading today from like people of that age were saying that's what she was like when she was on TV. But as far as a formal saved sit down interview, there just aren't any. She kept that privacy under locks. So I was kind of amazing, and it was an interview that Tom Osborne was doing, the guy from GoldDerby.com, and he was saying like he's of the age that he remembers her from TV, so he was so transported by her because there's been nothing since. He remembers her from those days being on TV doing the White House tour or talking here and there briefly, but she wasn't someone that sat down for... Like, we're just not used to that. That doesn't... We live in the Kardashians world, so we don't know. Like, so what actress are you going to mimic to portray her? Like, it's such a rare thing. Like, Mamie Eisenhower. You could have somebody come out and play her anyway. Who the fuck knows
what
she was like?
True.
Right.
Never, you know.
I think you'd be a really good Mamie Eisenhower.
Yeah, but I could be.
Why not?
So,
I feel good about it.
Actor in a leading role, Casey Affleck, who's going to win. Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge, well-deserved. Ryan Gosling for La La Land. He's always just charming, and he's so beautiful. I don't know if he's acting. When the movie ends, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have played the fiddle through that whole thing. I wouldn't have noticed. And Denzel Washington for Fences, which that's all the acting you can ever ask for one human. That's like so over-the-top acting. And it was
did you not like Fences?
I did, but... He's doing the most. He's just acting, and he's so. And I don't like him when he plays that unlikable. It's such an unlikable character, and I just like I just being that up close in person. It was like Long Day's Journey into a Fence. Like he was just so unlikable. It's very hard when you see a hard stage play about people you don't like, like Long Day's Journey Tonight. I love that play, and I'll go see it anytime you want to. No one's going to go see it with me because it's like sitting in somebody's therapy session. And him, you're like, if you just saw a therapist. Supporting role, I got to do this right. Mahershala Ali for Moonlight probably will win. Jeff Bridges, Hell or High Water. Hell or High Water is a fantastic old-fashioned Western.
Loved it.
Great movie. Lucas Hedges for Manchester by the Sea, the heart and soul of that movie. A win by him there would not surprise me. Dev Patel for Lion, who I want to win and take a shirt off and just tell me his story without a shirt. Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals. I thought him and Aaron Tyler Thomas Johnson Stone, whatever his name might be, I thought they were the two best parts of that movie, so whichever one they nominated, it's the only part of that movie I liked, because neither one of them got an abortion. supporting actress Viola Davis for Fences, I don't think anybody has a snowball's chance in hell against her playing someone that made you try to like Denzel Washington as that horrible character, because we had to go on that long day's journey into a fence with her, and she got you there gently and gingerly, and the forgiveness, the everything that she displayed through that movie was just, she, and no one can snot cry like her.
Right.
Like, there should be an Oscar for making snot bubbles happen spontaneously. Naomi Harris for Moonlight, she's...
Any other year, sure.
Any other year for any of these women, it would be their year. Naomi Harris, and who is she in? She's Moneypenny.
Yeah.
She's fucking Moneypenny in James Bond, and I never realized
it. I didn't know it till about a week ago.
Transformative. Nicole Kidman in Lion, turns out, take away the Botox, you can act. That's science. Just write that down. It's how it works. Her best, I think the best performance of her entire career. And I think her having adopted adult children has really kind of helped her with that performance. Mm. That the two kids with Tom Cruise are adopted children. So she has this issue. Like, she has natural children and adopted children. So I think maybe she's had that conversation before. But it was spot on the money. Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, a delight. But I don't understand why she got the love and not Taraji P. Henson, because I thought...
I think they were pushing Taraji for Best Actress, and so that was harder for her to...
Yeah, harder to break into. But I really thought Taraji was the better role for the and then Michelle Williams, Manchester by the Sea.
Man, she was
it's
amazing.
About a minute and a half on screen, but
she,
what
she does with that minute.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
man.
It? Okay.
No, he's exaggerating, but it's not a big role.
It's not a big role. She's probably a grand total of about 10 minutes.
Yeah, she has about four scenes, and that includes a scene where she doesn't say anything. She's just there.
Yep.
Like, and the scene where she does say something.
Oh, my God.
Manchester by the Sea.
And
that's got the one line that will... and only one person says it, but you can go back and imagine any one of the other monologues ending their monologue with that line.
I saw the trailer of that and was crying.
You have no idea what happens in this movie.
They keep all the horrors in that movie secret.
Okay.
But a little record, it's kind of a sad record, but it's a record nonetheless, is Viola Davis becomes the first black woman with three nominations for acting. No black woman's ever had more than two.
That's absurd. But absurd.
I know. I heard that this morning. I'm like, no, wait.
Whoopi Goldberg has two. That's the only one.
Yeah.
Wow.
That took a couple minutes more than I'm comfortable with admitting to.
Well, so and there was about the Hidden Figures. There was, I can't remember who it was, that was on a TV show talking about not wanting to go see it or wanting to go see it, and then saying she just thought it was like the Help in Space. And I burst out laughing.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
I don't remember who said that, but it cracked me up.
And we saw that last Wednesday. What a well-done movie.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Well-acted, well-written. There are no like evil bad guys.
Right.
And they address... like, and my Kirsten Dunst seriously can do no wrong with me. Like, whatever you want to do. And she has a little scene where she says, you know, I'm really not out to get you or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where Octavia Spencer's Oscar nom, because Doug and I play that game of like, what's the scene? Yeah. What's the minute where the nomination came from? She's like, I know you think that.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh.
And that's it.
Okay. But there's that, you know, the single tear of Diana Ross got her an Oscar nomination. Exactly. Barbara Streisand, the light behind her, my man. So we'll just go over two more categories. Achievement in directing, Denis Villeneuve. I don't even know what that says. But he did Sicario last year, which was largely snubbed all over the place. So he went from a border movie about drugs to a space movie about communication. So there's some range here. Mel Gibson for Axel Rage, we talked about that. Damien Chazelle, who did Whiplash, who went from Whiplash, a movie as riveting a movie as has ever been made about music, and then he made this delightful romp and this love letter to L.A. and anyone who's ever traveled to L.A., it's just lovely. And it's his, because Whiplash. Sorry. You can argue whatever you want to. He directed Whiplash. Sign it. Just sign the check. Kenneth Lonergan from Manchester by the Sea. He's going to win the Oscar. He's going to get the...
You think so?
Yeah. No, not for this. Not for this category.
Oh, okay.
He's going to get the Jane Campion...
Yeah.
What's the guy? The Irish guy. The Irish director. Writer.
Mike Lee?
No.
Irish. Jim Sheridan?
No. It'll come to me.
It's got
to
be Mick something.
And Barry Jenkins from Moonlight. So we have a black director, a black... So there's, every category has an African-American or someone from...
Or more.
Three all the colors actress. Of the rainbow. All the colors of the rainbow. You have the first time an African-American woman has ever been nominated for editing. You have the first African-American producers of a movie, and there's three movies with producers. So Oscar so white's over. So we'll just go
hashtag
with the...
Hashtag thanks, Obama.
Neil... What's his name?
Petrica.
Sadeka.
About the producer.
Sadeka. Oh.
Producer of the show?
No, the guy that... The Crying Game. Neil Jordan. Neil Jordan. So it's the Neil Jordan, Jane Campion Memorial Oscar, where you wrote it, you directed it, you did all these things. We're just going to throw the screenplay Oscar at you, and please sit down and shut up. So it's the Jane Campion, Neil Jordan Memorial Oscar. Arrival, Best Picture. Fences, Best Picture. That was a surprise. I didn't think Fences would make it into that. Really? Hacksaw Ridge, saw that coming. We talked about it last week. Hell or High Water, saw that coming. Hidden Figures, a little bit of a surprise till I saw it, and I had to agree, swept along, well done. La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight. There's no movie here that if they said that name that I would be like, anything but that.
Right.
There's, nothing suspicious here. All of these are the 9 of the 11 best movies. They could have put Sing Street and Deadpool in here. And
yeah, there's a couple
happy.
That I really liked. I would have liked to seen them better, but that's a solid
it's
9.
It's a solid 9 movies. Nine. And I have 2 movies to see, and I've seen everything in every category. Yeah. Like, a year that I thought I was way behind, where just me and the Oscars are on the same
turns
page.
Out I have 8 out of the 9 yet to see.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I'm at 9 out of 9.
But
see movies.
Most of these are, and this is why I needed you to think. But most of these are in the theater now. Moonlight came back. Arrival is coming back. Fences is still in theaters. Hacksaw, Hell or High Water are on video, and Hidden Figures is in theaters. So everything's available, and they're all making money. The lowest grossing one is Moonlight, and it won the best drama at the Golden Globes. It's back in theaters. Do not miss this movie. It's a great, great movie by what the fuck is his name now? Barry Jenkins.
Barry Jenkins.
It's just an artist to support. This is a man with a very personal story to tell, and I hope to Christ none of that happened to him.
Apparently, and I meant to look this up before coming here tonight, this is one of the lowest budget movies ever to be nominated. Moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
Moonlight?
Naomi Harris said her entire, over the span of 3 days was when they shot her scenes.
And she plays 3 different ages.
And she also said that the hair and makeup people had a budget of $300 to $700.
Like per person?
That was their hair and makeup budget.
Whole thing.
For this
film. Movie is all love. And you feel it in every scene and everything.
It's
can
beautiful.
Tell how much he cares about this man, this boy. And... It's so tough to watch because you have to watch someone be bullied that badly. But the arc of this character and this filmmaking is exactly why I love movies.
There's some really poignant, heartbreaking moments in the film that just resonate.
And just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And for a gay film, for a movie by a gay man for a gay man about a gay man to be nominated in all these categories.
And not just that, but I left the movie theater thinking. What is it like to be a gay black man watching this movie? Like those issues.
Yeah. Right.
On top of being gay, the issues of, black men who are fatherless and all of those issues. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that must have been fucking.
Yeah. And to find a father figure early in life who literally rescues you from hell. I mean, it's beautiful. And so Mahershala Ali, there won't be a dry eye in the he wins. He didn't win the Golden Globe, but
But Aaron Taylor Johnson won, and he's not even nominated.
He's not even nominated, but
he'll win.
Yeah. It's just strong. All of them are strong. There's nothing here that I'm like anything, because if Isabel Huppert wins, didn't care for the movie, but can't argue with that bitch put up with a lot. And now I'm gonna go pee. So anyway, that's that.
Entertainment.
Wow.
He could really have done that from the other room, and it would have sounded like he was standing right here.
The same. Huh? About the same.
Super fucking
similar. Carlson, I know you went to a meeting, but I figure you might still have something to throw at us. Do you have something?
We just like to hear the thing. Go ahead, play.
I know you like to hear the thing. And Buddy hasn't heard the thing yet.
Oh, Buddy's going to love it. Buddy's not a frequent listener offline.
No, are you kidding? He's got life. He's got things to do. I'm just going to guess. All right.
We're going to play the thing.
We're going to play the thing, and then we're going to talk to Kent Carlson, because that's what we do here at Q Talk America. We talk about two things.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of frazzled two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Kent Carlson, ladies and gentlemen.
How you doing over there, Buddy?
I preferred it. Well, first of all, before we get into two things, Buddy Early, how do you feel about my intro? Do you think it's too long?
Your thoughts.
No, I'm still stuck on the beginning song.
The singing?
Yeah. I'm processing that.
You might think I did it. I outsourced that.
Oh, I thought it was you. No, really, it was you, right?
It was me.
Oh, Adobe.
I was also going to tell you about growing up as an oppressed black man earlier, but I decided not to.
In a ham radio.
Right. Yeah. Right. I love ham.
The hits just keep coming.
They do.
Don't they, though? Don't they?
I thought he was really good with that.
All right. So I missed the first hour of the show. I assume we talked
about... We'll recap. So...
there's a commercial about a car.
Buddy Early,
supposedly.
That's all I know. I heard that and got a twitch, but I don't know.
Who said that?
When I came in, something happened. Oh, okay.
You said supposedly? Now I'm on a whole new thing. Two things about this. You said supposedly?
No, you had to be there.
Yeah.
All right, I wasn't.
That's all I knew, trying to recap.
In any event, I wasn't here at the top of the show. I assume we talked Women's March, yes?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good. I was there too. Hooray. We ducked
what
out.
What were your thoots? What did you do?
There were women, there was a march. We're right. Getting, boom.
I figured, well.
Two things.
I got all the parts. I guess I should show up.
I personally saw more fallopian tubes than I had ever seen in my life.
Oh,
made
my
into
God.
A hat?
Yeah.
I have a gynecologist, so you're clear on mine, yeah.
Like, everywhere you turned was another fallopian tube.
You know, my overall thoughts are, first of all, for as overwhelmed as the organizers must have been because they were expecting a much smaller numbers, mm-hmm. for as overwhelmed as they must have been, it went surprisingly smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Like, we got there late, surprisingly. Can't imagine.
Yeah.
And it was already so crowded, we were nowhere near any stage. We couldn't find a stage. We didn't know anything about a stage. Allegedly, there was a stage. I think I walked past it at one point. Nothing, right? So I didn't get to hear any of the speakers.
We got there early, and we didn't have no stage. We had no idea either.
Yeah.
How can you get early to a goddamn march and you can't get here?
She got paid for the march. Did we not
fuck
pay
whatever. No,
that's really a good point.
Wait, we were supposed to get paid for that?
Yeah,
I'm feeling gypped now.
Just saying, that's why you were late. So
no, but it was a nice experience. You know, Sharon's mom came with us, and we had the kids with us. Which was our excuse to kind of duck out early, because as the march kind of like stuttered and stalled because there were so many people.
Yeah. Right. In every city they ran into that problem where they couldn't
move
anywhere.
It along. Yeah. Because there were too many people to
we're
actually
at the beginning
move around.
And the end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was kind of an interesting thing because we were, as it turns out, we didn't know, we're kind of towards the back of the procession through Phoenix, and then our youngest was over it about 2 hours into it. And I was like, well, that feels legit.
That's fair.
I mean, he's only eight.
By the way, when we actually finally started marching, I texted my sister and my brother-in-law to find out where they were. And they said, oh, we're at the corner of 15th Avenue and Adams, which is like a little behind us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know until much later in the day that text that I got back from them, they had finished the march.
Oh, my God. Okay, by that point.
Back to the middle and around again.
Yeah,
and we hadn't even started.
Well, at one point, a buddy and I turned around and I went, is that the beginning?
Yeah.
Was that the front? Because it was them carrying their signs. And
it was bizarre, though, that was the front of the march.
I agree.
It was
just very weird. So we just started walking then. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, no, you're fine.
Size matters.
No, we didn't start walking until much later.
No, that's actually really true. Yeah.
Size matters, but did you see it was from like Nova Scotia or...
Oh, I love that. Nova Scotia.
Seven women marching alone.
No, I didn't see that.
Again, heartbreak.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because everything's either melancholy or deeply sad this year. And those women in solidarity in a town of nine, seven of them marched alone and rode. And it really
Kenneth Lonergan is going to make a movie
He'll make a movie about it. Yeah. Nova Scotia by the Sea.
Yeah.
I don't know how to quit you.
But aside from the positive feelings, I felt, and this is kind of a feeling that I have about like progressive or liberal politics in general, I felt like there were a lot of messages. And I feel like at some point, somebody really needs to narrow down this messaging and this message calendar.
Maybe winnow it down?
Right. Like the Women's March. Sure. Whatever you like.
I learned that.
Whittle if you like.
No, winnow. I learned that a long time ago. I try to use it occasionally.
I like it.
You're welcome.
No.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But at some point, there does have to be more specific messaging, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I felt this way.
This was the March of a Thousand Purposes, as opposed to.
It really was. And that was, and it worked for this particular march. It really did. And to that point, I had, after the fact, like there were, you know, pictures posting and things, and a friend of mine who I know to be, and I use the word friend very loosely. We know each other through our kids go to the same school and we work on the book fair together. And that's like the extent of our friendship. But I find her to be a very pleasant person, like someone very nice who I'm not offended by, and it, you know, generally. And but I know these things.
That's how I describe all my friends. I'm generally not offended by you.
I'm sometimes offended by you people, like let alone this one woman.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Right. So generally not offended by. And she does post some things on social media that I don't necessarily agree with. And I, you know, politely, because she is someone that I know, just don't usually comment on. And she posted a picture of the signs in Washington that were left at the fence of the White House. Right. So not everybody knows that at some point, and some of the participants in the actual march in Washington decided to fling their signs at the White House fence, and they left a big pile of them.
Right.
And so without any context, she had posted
litter bugs. Yeah.
Without any context, she posted a picture. I can't even begin to comprehend this in just a picture. And I was like, well, that's really odd, and that's really lot of signs. Uh-huh. That's stunning to me too. Mm-hmm. Right. Pick your shit up. Like I'm stunned. So I do. Yeah. I do just, you know, the obligatory quick
little vetting
Google
of a
search, little quick Google search, and I realize what has happened is that they've been left at the White House. This makes a lot more sense to me now. Right.
On purpose. Right,
intentionally as a statement, and so I got into the Facebook comments, which you know, longtime listeners will
always
know.
Always a good idea.
Yeah,
but I love to do it, and here's why: because occasionally, and this is a friend of mine that I know will engage in a thoughtful way.
Right.
Occasionally, you get someone that will actually tell me where they're coming from and why.
Which is
what I want. Yeah. Like I want to know why you hate this.
No, give me a real explanation.
I want to know why you weren't at the Women's March.
Right.
You're a reasonably politically aware woman that I know of in my life. Like, why weren't you there? And her feeling was that people of her belief system had been uninvited.
Right.
And so I said, well, be a little more specific. Like, what beliefs do you exactly have? Like, what actually happened here? So in the pro-life Christian women's circles, and they're out there.
They are.
God love us.
They voted.
Apparently, there's an organization called New Wave Feminists, who are a very pro-life, you know, feminist organization. Go Nuts, right? Yeah. And they had initially been for the march in Washington. They had initially been listed as a sponsor. Like on the website, it was Planned Parenthood and these vaginas over here and New Wave, whatever.
Here,
well,
a vagina, there, fallopian a vagina,
left,
here, a vagina,
fallopian
vagina.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, yeah.
Pin the tail on the bits.
Pin
the tail on the
Lady Bits Incorporated, like all of these places.
Sound like a sticky situation
to
me.
Yeah, well.
Okay. Thing number two, when I do run for office, I'm pretty sure that my political action committee is called Lady Bits Incorporated. Yeah. Somebody write this down immediately.
Hang on to your tits and bits.
I'm going to remember that.
Hang on to your tits and
bits. I won't know your name, but I'll be, it's Lady Bits Incorporated.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I am actually getting to a point, and the point is that, so she says, you know, here's the link to whatever shitty, you know, Christian news site was reporting on this. You know, New Wave Feminist, removed as a sponsor, blah, blah, blah. So I do, again, the obligatory Google search, and I find the interview with the spokesperson on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, gosh, it's Monday afternoon. I got nothing to do. I'm going to watch this. Boop. Hit play. And so, the interview goes through, and she says, well, you know, we were initially listed as a sponsor, and then there was backlash, and so then we were removed, la, la, la. And then they get to the end of the interview, and it's the interview took place on inauguration day, like that afternoon. And they said, well, what are your members going to do? And here's the important part. They showed up anyway.
That's right.
They showed up anyway. They were removed as a sponsor, which I may or may not agree with that particular decision of the organizers in Washington. But I also agree with New Wave Feminists showing up anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Totally. There's a lesson to be had there, because you're not going to be invited to activism. You're not going to be invited to being involved.
Oh, right.
You're not
True.
Going to be invited to be
informed. I wasn't
invited.
Yeah.
I went.
Right.
Right.
But, people that need to have like some golden invitation irritate the shit out of me anyway, no matter what it is.
Are you a feminist just because you say you are? I mean, at some point, is feminism?
Yeah.
And you may say, I'm a feminist, but I know this is, I'm wrong for saying this, but if you don't support...
Alternate facts, buddy. Not wrong. You're not wrong.
I am digging this hole already.
But
at some point, if you don't support feminist values, as I got in trouble for referencing over the weekend as well, if you don't support women having equality and having the right to reproductive freedom and these things, are you really a feminist?
But do you have to support every single piece of it?
We got in trouble with Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
It started off as one thing and turned into everything.
Right.
Like, there can't be a trans part to Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
This is Wall Street. We're going to deal with
absolutely right.
Wall Street.
Well, and that's what we saw at the march. I mean, there were signs for all kinds
for all
of issues.
The things. Right.
Yeah,
right.
All the things.
You know, and I think at some point where there was, so there was this march, and I think everybody just kind of came out, and all of a sudden it was that place to just go, ah!
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're exactly right. Now it needs to branch
now
off,
too. Now fine-tune it. Each of you have a very effective march on your topic.
Correct.
But...
Correct. And what is...
protesting Wall Street, let's save the trans issues and the bathroom issues for somewhere else.
Right. What I'm getting at is when I was managing editor of Echo, I was getting a lot of pressure from local activist groups who always wanted us to include, you know, pro-choice platform in what Echo stands for. Mm-hmm. And while I personally am pro-choice, I'm a flag bearer for Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. I want my tax dollars going to pay for abortions.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm all for that.
I want my next one
buy
free.
Buy one, get one free, right?
But
now.
I always had an issue because I knew there were a lot of gay people who were not pro-choice. There were pro-life gay people. And I thought, well, I don't, you know,
most of
Echo,
them don't have uteruses.
Echo, and as well as, you know, HRC or at the time Arizona Human Rights Fund or all these different groups are supposed to represent all gay people for LGBT issues.
Right.
So this is sort of this thing. It's like what you're getting at about this march is there needs to be a focus. Mm-hmm. But I still believe like there's got to be something that feminism stands for. And I think reproductive freedom has got to be right at the top of that list. And if you don't support that, I mean, what do you do?
It's hard to... Well, but...
Then why are you there?
I don't.
In regards to the march,
I get it, but I see the
In regards to the march, it wasn't an abortion march,
right? Exactly.
No, but that's a,
thank you.
Of all the issues.
The most anti-feminist of all issues to have. Right?
But Planned Parenthood funding and Donald Trump being a misogynist prick. Sure. That's it.
Yeah, that's.
And if we're not defining feminism as one of our main planks being reproductive freedom, what else do we have?
Yeah, but if somebody is going in there and what their full belief, they're pro-life, they you know this, but it's about everyone getting paid the same.
Is that what feminism is?
I don't know.
About?
Maybe for somebody.
Right, and you have to decide.
Maybe
like,
for somebody.
And then it's time for someone to be the grown up at the meeting and be like, all lives are important right now, but for right now,
we're
this
focusing
is the
on
issue
this.
That
right.
matters.
Right, because, okay. And again, I'm playing devil's advocate, but I'm just saying it doesn't feel right for me to look at someone else and say, you can't be a feminist because you don't do that. Like, I don't know.
Okay,
where
so
I'd
Susie Housecoat comes to the meeting.
I don't like to be called that.
Whatever these meetings are.
You've called
says,
them that for years.
It's a lovely housecoat, though. I'm a woman,
and I consider myself a feminist, and I think women belong in the home to take care of their husband and children. What do you tell her? She's a woman.
And we learned this from that wonderful documentary, The 70s, on CNN, where they got to the women's movement, and you found out where that backlash came from, which I was not aware of. I was always like, why are these people pissed off at feminists? And then you find the people that decided to stay home with the kids, raise the children, that felt like they were being attacked for making that choice in the 70s. Right. And they felt like they were constantly being demeaned for choosing to be
maybe they were.
Just a housewife. And then you realize, oh, it's 2016 or when, you know, when I watched the documentary, and I've still heard the just a housewife.
But my distinction that I was trying to make was women having the choice.
Right.
Because what I'm saying is there are women, just like there are women who don't support reproductive freedom, there are women who think women belong in the home.
Right.
So what do you say to that woman?
That's their choice.
You're welcome. Come on in.
That's
but no,
their
no, no.
choice.
Noah, Marnie, you're missing what I'm saying. She's saying women belong in the home. She's not advocating for women having a choice.
Yes.
She's advocating for the Bible says women belong in the home. Okay. That's what I'm getting at.
Right. Okay. And that gets to kind of a bigger problem
with
inclusion. Like, I cringe every time somebody says inclusive.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Like, what do we mean by inclusive? Right. Do we mean that we're going to accept all of your allergies because we just can't cook a dinner?
Right. Yeah.
We cannot cook a dinner.
I want the peanut sauce. You can't have the peanut sauce.
But I'm kind of not kidding. By the time you get all the celiac disease and all the gluten sensitivities,
dairy,
peanut allergies,
lactose intolerance,
complete
other
dairy,
food allergies, aversions to vegetables.
Vegan. I mean, every single thing.
We're so busy trying to make sure everyone is included that we like. Can we just focus once? Can we just pick a topic?
But doesn't that go back to the idea of being politically correct? I mean,
and that's where the political correctness really plays
a role. That's where it goes
wrong, because you want to be like, all right, I'm going to hold your hand because I'm sure that you're, and I just because I always bash them, I'm sure your vegan lifestyle has to be represented here, but some of us are going to eat meat, so get over it.
And you go ahead and order the Brussels sprouts, and I'm
going to
get the steak.
We just want everyone to make sure. I don't want you to feel left out of this. Like, I just don't want you to feel left out. So I guess we're all going to drink almond milk, even though I think it's filthy.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
But you end up in that place of like, and I think that's, and it happened with Occupy Wall Street. And from what you're describing, it just happens again and again.
It will happen there, sure.
In an effort to try to help understanding of people, you mentioned Susie Housecoat.
Yeah.
I looked for her. I was only able to find Susie's housecoat.
Actually, house that coat. Looks like Mrs. Roper.
It's Susie's housecoat, and I could not find Susie's housecoat.
Lovely
on her. I think that's Mrs. Roper.
You know, if a woman shows up at the march, a feminist march, with a sign that says, you know, girls who wear short skirts are asking for it, is she a feminist? No. Because she's just that's her opinion.
Right.
You got to whittle it down at some point. I'm going to call that one an easy one.
No, you're not.
Again, when are we?
Right.
Then we're going to take her aside. We're going to be like, sweetheart, this is what feminism
is. This is not your march. But
define your rape. Yeah.
But the point that I was getting to wasn't necessarily like starting to weed people out, which we maybe kind of need to. But it was the fact that people that had felt uninvited showed up anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what you need to do, is show up. If you feel like the Women's March is for you,
show up.
Show up.
And make and your find place out.
And then
there.
It is
find
for
out.
You.
Meet some
right.
people, interact mm-hmm. with them, and be like, you know yeah. what? No.
And in the like Facebook back and forth that I had, I even was able to launch into a personal anecdote that actually nice. Proved that for her.
Nice.
Because I live in a very Scottsdale place. Right? And local
again,
is,
why do you live so far?
Right. This was a whole thing. I'll tell you later. But I live in a very Scottsdale
different
place.
March, buddy. We're going to tell you later.
People that are not local listeners don't know what a very Scottsdale place looks like. It looks very white. It looks very...
It's an uppity area.
It looks very well-to-do. It looks very college-educated. Right? And it looks very, like, straight white people in suburbia.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We got a poor lesbian living there.
Right. My household... shouldn't be able to afford
they're,
to live there.
They're bringing the property values down.
I am. No, and I say it every time I move. Yeah. I'm like, rednecks are moving in.
Come
and,
on.
And then I have a party in my front yard and prove it.
Would you like a solo cup? I have them over here.
But I, you know what I mean? Our income is not fractional of some of my friends' husbands, right?
Right.
And we are not, you know, a straight white couple. My kids have an immigrant father who I wish could be deported, but he has his citizenship.
What's right? his name? I'll get on it.
All right.
Dear Donald Trump.
Dear
that
Donald
wall
Trump.
Is going up tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So we're a gay family. I have stepchildren. They're, you know, my kids are mixed race. Like, we're all of these things that don't really fit in there. And so what did I do? I went and joined the PTO at the elementary schools.
Naturally.
Yep.
Like you do.
Like
right?
you should.
And so last year, one of the PTOs at one of the schools said, oh, we need to update our bylaws, blah, 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 which is a really boring process. But I said, well, maybe I should be involved in that. Why don't I got nothing going on this month. I'm on the committee, right? And I found out, as we were reviewing it, that the way that the membership clause was written could be, if someone wanted to, used to exclude me because it said parents or heads of household of a student. Well, I'm technically neither of those.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Because of the way that I'm tax filing, I'm not necessarily a head of household. Right? I'm not a parent. I'm not even, because we're not married, I'm not even necessarily a step parent. Mm-hmm. So somebody, if they wanted to be a super douche, could use that to exclude sure. me. But because I showed up, I said, hey, why don't we change this language too? And now I'm 100% covered.
Sure.
And what, and what verbiage did you select to use?
Adults living in a home where a student resides.
Wow.
Or something like that. You know what I mean?
That's going to get a nasty uncle on the board.
Right. No,
and that's rather broad.
But that's
vans
what...
must have windows.
Those were some examples because I'm like, wait, this isn't all about me. We have grandparents.
Oh, right? And no. And
who
it's
come
exactly
and volunteer.
Fair.
We have other... We have older siblings. We sure. have, you know, cousins, uncles. We need to include other adults than just yeah. parents. Mm-hmm.
And the
we need to broaden this out.
Huge now. Grandparents
as primary care. Yeah, so we...
Well, sure, because all the parents are all meth heads now, and they're all living in the van by the river while the grandparents...
It's not meth anymore, people. Yeah. It's heroin.
It's heroin, fair enough.
But I was just picking
I know, but it's time to update your drug jokes. Just go ahead. I'm sorry, we keep...
No, you're fine. What do
like
I have
we do to Marty. Like we do to Mariah.
But you actually have my name right to begin
almost,
with, but
I
liked it.
It was bad today for Mariah, too.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, so that was my first thing. It had to do with, you know, the Women's March and all of the other things. And I forgot what my second thing was.
Wasn't horse cock, was it?
Already been covered.
Adobe
let me check. Horse cock. No. Oh, okay, I remembered.
Oh!
Thank goodness.
Only wrote that down or typed it on that computer.
I did none of that, no. I did no preparation for today. And I do pretty well.
Yeah.
Off
yeah.
the top of my head. The other thing, in the spirit of show up and be involved and be more present and aware, I am working on, and any local listeners that want to help me work on this, I would like to create a very shareable calendar that gets updated and you know, shared often with Arizona events, public events by elected officials. So... for example, the only thing that's on there right now is Kyrsten Sinema's coffee chat. right? Because that's a public event where the elected official is going to be meeting with constituents.
Maybe or maybe not. We're not sure if it's going to happen.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Tried. I really tried.
Oh, Marnie.
It's a 50-50 on whether it's going to happen.
Is this a thing that you showed up in? No, I don't know what happened.
No. It's the bisexual joke.
History.
50-50.
They have a history of not
always been her beef with June and cinema. Always has been.
The fact that she will pander to.
Well, she's a panderer for sure, and I think people that know that she's a panderer.
Right. Apparently, she likes coffee.
To her fucking coffee chat and say, "Hey, where the fuck have you been for three months?"
That's what you're exactly right. And somebody, right. I don't remember who it was that said that to me, but was like, "You need to show up and call her on it."
So this is my new brilliant idea.
It was you.
What's that?
You said that to me.
You said you should call her?
There, when we were sitting out there watching the...
Did you call? Oh, I did. I gave you a whole... I forget that we didn't record the show in the living room.
See, by the way, I listen.
I guess.
I'm like, wait, no, somebody told me to do that. You did.
Totally told you to call her.
Yep.
Yes.
You like show up and call her on.
And that's a thing. And so, like, eat a good breakfast every day, kids, because every day the news is getting scary. Whoa. And every day there's something that's happening. Every day there's something that's happening on national levels that you feel like you can't do anything about, right? But what you can do...
oatmeal and Tang. I need oatmeal and Tang, buddy.
That's your balanced breakfast, oatmeal and Tang.
Right. Have yourself some oatmeal and Tang every day, because this isn't, like, short action stuff. You know what I mean? This is at least 4 years worth of people who maybe we don't all agree with feeling really entitled to do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
And there's not a lot. Right. There's not a lot to stop any of that. The best thing that we have on our side is your local representatives being afraid of re-election. Like, that's the very best thing that we have on our side. So I feel like if I can help contribute to that. And who did I call today? I called John McCain's office and nobody would answer the phone and his voicemail box was full. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge.
And I've been trying to call Paul Ryan for days.
I did that.
I
did that the other day.
And I've been looking for Paul Ryan on Scruff. Have not found him.
Not found him yet.
It's been user busy.
Mm-hmm.
All circuits are full.
Two days ago?
Was McCain unable to get to the phone because he was busy voting for Tillerson today?
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Like little fuckwad, little Marco.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have to help each other find the events, right? Because the information is now hard to find because we haven't cared about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For
a
generation.
Right.
We have not cared. So that information is going to be hard to find. I looked on all of their websites. I looked at my immediate local representatives. I figured start with my people first and,
right.
you know, we'll go from there. And nobody has a calendar of events on their website.
And John McCain is not known for going amongst the people. And
sure.
It got cut back. Gabby Giffords was the best that we had as far as having events with the public, and they shot her in the head. So
mm-hmm. Which means that, A, leave your guns at home, and two, when there is an event, it will be really impactful when we show up, right? So that's kind of my new project
we need to pressure McCain that he needs to come amongst the people, because he doesn't campaign and he doesn't do anything in his time in the Senate to listen to his constituents.
To listen to the constituency, and that's
Snowflake,
a problem.
Or whatever his name is,
is
no better. Like
Flake, Jeff Flake.
Yeah, whatever
like
the fucking
Snowflake,
name is.
I like that.
Is Snowflake supposed to be an insult somehow?
He's white.
They're beautiful. I'm white. They're powerful.
No,
and they add up.
I couldn't remember if his last name was Snow or Flake. Like I got a 50-50 shot if I make it one word.
No,
what is his last name? Is it Snow?
It is Flake.
It's Flake.
Oh, it's Flake. Yeah. See, that's you gotta go with it.
I just said Jeff Flake.
No, Snowflake Jeff has Flake. Been the like liberal
and
insult.
Doesn't mean I heard you.
Sure, exactly.
Of the season.
A little prancing.
I know. I'm listening to the same thing you are. I thought maybe you could have.
Yeah, no. Tell me back my Oscar stock.
A black woman said something in a movie about a spaceship,
and she had a snot cry.
Snot cry.
Somebody did.
Snot
yeah,
cry.
Octavia Spencer snot cried.
That's right.
Well,
yes.
Okay. Close enough.
I only know that because they shove it down your throat in every commercial.
So I love this idea,
in any event,
if we can force your local representatives to go out in a gun-free zone and interact with the public like Gabby Giffords was doing, because she really, that's how she was getting reelected in that district.
Absolutely.
She was in a heavily Republican district and she was winning handily.
And talking to people. Right. Like, here's the weird thing. If you actually talk with people, you have a better chance of getting your point across.
Right. And when McCain goes into his bubble is when he fucks up. Mm-hmm. When he actually has to go out and interact with people, he's a decent man.
Sure.
And makes right decision and says the right things. When he goes and hides in his bubble, all of a sudden he's a Trump supporter and he mm-hmm. does like everything yeah. possible wrong and he starts trying to invade the Safeway.
Right.
Like he's got a plan in place.
Which
to
depending
invade
on which
anything.
Safeway I'm on board.
I'm not completely against it. I feel like military presence at 7th Avenue and Camelback
is necessary.
May not be a bad idea.
Necessary, right. Yeah, but that's the power of the human factor, and thanks to technology. Technology does a lot of wonderful things for us. I've been a lover of technology for a long time and use it for way more things than any human should.
Yeah.
But that human factor is what's really missing and what's really kind of brought us to where we are now, because we're not connected to the people that we disagree with. We don't see...
We're isolationists.
When we say that, yeah. You know what I mean? When we say whatever horrible shit is on our mind, we don't see that person's reaction.
Am I the only one who thinks that Kat is a way better person than I am?
Oh, no, I do too.
No, I agree.
I'm pretty sure everyone does.
Yeah.
I don't.
You're only here because of Oscars, buddy.
I barely get... I mostly want to punch people in the throat.
Right?
Why? Why do you feel
she does stuff and cares and tries to make change in the world and...
That's a good thing.
I always have thought she's one of the best moderators, like ever. She should be the when you're going to war and you need somebody to moderate something or like a divorce and you're going to what's the arbitrator arbitrator?
Sure.
Yeah, that's
mediator,
arbitrator, whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what you could do. I mean, literally, you could bring oil and water together, and they would get along lovely, and then they would mix.
And you know what that is? That's really just a little bit of empathy and a lot of customer service background. That's a lot of just dealing with stupid people in whatever
situation. I know a lot
situation.
Of people with customer service backgrounds that can't do shit.
But you have to add empathy. Without
you have to
empathy.
Add some empathy. Like I've kind of always done it in every. In every industry I've worked in, I'm trying to think of one that I didn't. I can, through empathy, like, just find that connection with just about anybody.
You know what's really funny is I actually, for a completely different, perhaps opposite reason, also make a great mediator / arbiter.
Because you don't give a shit?
I have no feelings. I have no empathy. It's about facts for
fact
me.
Based on either side.
Exactly. That's funny though.
That is really funny.
And I'm being serious. Like I do mediate between people.
Mediate. That's
and,
what I wanted.
You know,
God,
I always look
at mediator.
But because I don't care about anyone or anything,
you don't care about the outcome.
And so it's completely different.
And see, I care a great
sense.
Deal,
it's
and
it really does.
I don't have a dog.
That's what it is.
And I sometimes consciously and sometimes like unconsciously. We'll find myself coming to someone's plane. You know what I mean? Like right. if someone's up here, then I'm right there with you. If someone's down here, I'm right there with you. I found it. I had coworkers when I worked for an insurance company. It was basically a call center. I had coworkers that would be in the cubicle next to me and would know what region of the country I was talking to by my accent. Mm. 'Cause if I was talking to somebody from the South, all of a sudden I would pick up a little bit of their
right,
Southern
yeah.
accent, and I would funny. Say, "Well, honey, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna." Yeah, and sugar, what I got for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I really yeah. would, because uh-huh. when you're talking to someone from the South, if you honey and sugar them up,
right.
then they're...
You're one of them.
They're invested, right? Then they're yeah. like, oh, okay, well, I you're all
I
right.
Like
that
you.
Other motherfucker I was talking
right.
to.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
and when you have to... You have to... I do a lot of teaching.
Uh-huh.
In my job. And a lot of... And I'm sure you do, too, mm-hmm. where you have to get something across... And we were talking about the perception being reality. Mm-hmm. I have to tell people news or explain something to people.
Right.
And then I have to ask them, what'd you hear?
Sure.
Right. You've got to say it back to me
now,
what you heard.
Now tell me what I just told you.
Tell me what I just told you, because right. I'm going to need that to happen. And if they tell me something back, then I'm like, all right, now I know what level we're communicating
where
at.
We're at.
Above,
sure.
below.
Absolutely.
You have a background in this. You have a background. I just need to know, like, okay, I can kind of get...
Right.
where you're at, and I'm going to try to explain it in something you can understand.
And I feel like up and down is the wrong like graphic to use.
It is,
because
it's
not necessarily a better than or worse than.
Right,
it's just,
exactly.
This is where we're at. Are you okay? You're a very literal visual person. I have to talk to you this way. Mm-hmm. You're like a metaphorical person. You're an emotional person. I have to talk to you in these different ways.
And so it's more of a spectrum than it is
right.
an up or down. It's like, how do you learn? What are you hearing? Are you a selective do you have Scarlett O'Hara selective hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you only hear I would love you and you heard I love you? No, no,
right.
Nope. Ashley, it's not what she said. You know what
not
I mean?
Like, different.
Right.
Different.
Beep, beep. What? Let's go back. So, all right, let's go to Thoughtful Vulgarity.
Go to Thoughtful.
Oh, like that. That was a bail. I didn't realize.
We didn't know where
I mean,
we were
Nan's
at.
Chomping at the bit with some questions, and I've got a. I think we're armed and ready.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, here it goes.
Anymore,
it goes.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
So Anant asks the question of, and you're in a situation, and I don't think he asked about Katie too, but they may have the question of like, where's the daddy? And I think that's more applicable to them because there's not a custody thing where.
Oh yeah, no, my kids know their dad and see him.
But and people see them with them, like he brings them to school sometimes, right? Like.
Yeah, you know what? In that particular community, I am the most visible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it's because I'm the most memorable,
mm-hmm.
And I'm the most involved. So in the school environment, the kids are more associatively attached to me. And so because it's happened, I can't tell you how many times, where the kids will be with one of their, you know, with Sharon or with their dad. And people will be like, oh, well, where are your people? I don't see Kat. Oh, they have other people. So it's been kind of that learning curve because I was always the most involved because I had the most daytime hours.
Right, right.
I don't work during the day. I work like night weekend hours.
Sure.
So on a Tuesday at 2:00, absolutely I can come to the school for no reason but to make copies.
Right.
I got time.
Making copies. So, I mean, but are there ever questions where you're asked, like, where's the dad in the story, or is he around enough that doesn't come up? Like, do they ever get... I think that's what Anant is asking,
sure.
Is does that come up?
It doesn't come up to the kids anymore. I think we're... In our communities, we're pretty well known. The oldest is the only one, so the youngest is special ed. The oldest is the only one that really was ever asked those questions, and he was always really angry about why didn't people get it.
Okay.
Like he understood our family situation. He said, "No, I have a mom, I have a dad. My dad got married, and I have Kat."
Yeah,
like this is his reality,
and he's a really cool kid too. I mean that doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he always just got really angry at having to explain because you know when I was in school. With him, and it was mostly other kids, you know, because kids will ask the question where parents will shut it down, and I'd rather the kids ask the question. But the kids
yeah,
would
of
be
course.
Like, you know, and the kids
be inquisitive. Don't shut down anyone's curiosity.
And the kids would kind of point at me and be like, "Hey, is that your dad?" And my kid would get so angry. No, it's not my dad. That's Kat.
Yeah, well, that doesn't answer the question.
That's the only answer the kids ever get from him.
And if he's learned vagaries, I'm all in with being vague.
But you know, kids should always ask that question. I was in a school for book fair this week, and there were some kids kind of milling around the library where we were setting up, and I was doing my job, and they were asking questions because they get really excited when something new happens in their environment, and so they're asking, "Oh, do you have this book? Oh, do you have that book?" And that's my favorite part. So I stand out there and I ask the questions, and I give the kids a hard time. And one girl says, "I have a question." I said, "All right, go ahead, ask your questions. Are you a boy?" Mm-hmm. And like the adults in the room were like, "Oh my god." And I said, "Well, that's an awesome question. What do you think?" "I think you're a boy." "So why do you think that?" She says, "You have short hair." "Do you know any girls with short hair?" She says, "Yeah." "All right. Well, you were wrong on this one. I'm a girl." You know, but she was.
But it's your presentation back to them.
I'd have been the one kicked out of the library. That blows your fucking theory out of the water. I'd have been the one escorted off property.
Right. But that's all about your delivery and the fact that you don't.
I love that question. Right. Why wouldn't you ask?
Right.
I wear men's clothing.
Right, right.
I have a short haircut.
I'm bending some rules. I'm okay with you asking
Yeah. I know exactly what I look like when I leave the house. I typically have a men's haircut. Yeah. It's kind of long right now, but I have, you know what I mean? I have a men's haircut. I wear men's clothing.
I've seen myself before.
I'm allowed.
But do you get that a lot?
Right.
Are you a girl? Yeah. Or guy? Okay.
Are you a man?
I have a big voice and a big presence, which is usually associated with men in their lives. Correct. Like, women are usually more quiet and more subdued than I am. So why wouldn't you jump to that conclusion if your only experience of men and women have been these stereotypes?
Woman is more demure.
Why would I ever be offended by
that? Gloria Steinem ever gets that question? Are you a girl?
Yeah. So I'm sure there is more of those kind of questions for my kids in the future, like as middle school and high school and kids become more and more cruel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more of that in their future. Sure.
And do you face any kind of like interracial questions of like...
No, because the part of Scottsdale that we live in, there are a lot of Indian families.
Okay.
So the kid's dad is from India. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of Indian immigrant families in the area that we live in. So we live amongst the Jews and the Indians, really. Okay.
But there's no one seeing the two of you without him and being like, "Where'd the Indian kids?"
Because the kids are pretty mixed. So
I'm
they
sure
Annette kind of
meant
pass
that
for...
me to ask that in a much nicer.
Yeah,
way
no,
than
that's
I did.
That's
yeah.
totally okay.
I feel they're fairer complected because they're not. They're
yeah,
not
the oldest
dark.
Has kind of fair skin. Yeah. The youngest is a little more dark skin, but Sharon's fairly dark skin. So when you see the four of us together, like I'm the snowflake for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I need to tan more. Yeah, when you see the kids with Sharon, you absolutely do not ever question that they're her kids. Hers. Like, that's never a thing. It's not like... like, I have a friend whose husband is African-American, and so she's very, very white. So her kids do look kind of, like, just visually out of place next to her. It's nothing like that with us.
Yeah. And you see that in different combinations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where I remember one time, one of the first times I was in the Upper West Side in New York... And I was watching all these people with strollers, like, heading toward Central Park. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of mixed-race babies. And my friend was like,
that's nannies.
No, that's nannies.
Right, yeah.
There's not a mother and child in that crowd.
Right, that's pretty funny.
But you had to, you know, I had to look at it and be like, multicultural parade is clearly on display. Somebody's like,
No,
all the babies are white. You're on the wrong track. So, all right. So then the follow-up question would be about empathy and like when did you realize like what that was and what?
I think a lot of it has to do with my line of work because for me to look at anyone and say, oh, I can completely sympathize. No, I can't.
Yeah.
I absolutely cannot sympathize with what they're going through, not even a little bit.
And knowing the difference between sympathy and empathy.
It's that you know, anyone who says, like, I completely can sympathize with you there.
No,
you can't. Because I don't have children. I don't have disabled children. Let's go back to A, I don't have children. And so for me to look at a family and say, I get it. I totally get it. I understand. I absolutely understand. No, I don't. I can empathize with what you're saying and I'm hearing you. And, you know, kind of going at it from that standpoint. So I think that was a real eye-opener because when I was 19, 20, when I first started doing direct care, working with folks with developmental disabilities, I decided that I would say that to a family, to a mom.
Oh, said, I know exactly what you're going through.
I know exactly what you're going through. And, you know, gosh, it must be really hard. And she said, well, I thought you knew exactly what I was going through.
Good for her.
Goddamn. Yeah. I mean, at 19, I was like, ah! You know, and I sat there and then went to a cat teachable moment. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, like, then sat down. It wasn't that she was being mean. She was trying to teach me. And then she just said, you can't know what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And explained it.
Yeah.
So, and it was at that point I just really switched how I looked at things. So, did I answer that right?
Yeah. Patricia?
You know, I have this entire stuff
speech. I think
speech.
That would end the boy-girl questions immediately if you change your name to Patricia.
Well, and you know what? It will.
Because most would be like, huh?
Just happened.
In my life plan, at some point when my hair has finally turned gray and I kind of look of a certain age.
You're going to go all Betty Buckley with it?
It's going to have to evolve from Cat to Catherine, my given name. And that will become a thing. And then that will, you know,
oh,
that
let's
will
just jump
erase
right to
all.
Kathleen, because she's taller.
But my name's not Kathleen.
I know,
but
not
yet.
That name.
But I want you to have a
gravelier
voice.
Whenever I say Kathleen, I just imagine a very tall woman.
Yeah,
possibly.
But
wouldn't that be nice
right,
if I was
Kathleen
tall?
Turner.
Turner, right.
Again, tall.
But to
or maybe
to
you just go to
damn
Lauren.
It, Kathleen.
Lauren, Kathleen. Kathleen. Exactly. Tip it, tip it.
Tip it.
Listen, Brenda.
Brenda. Oh, Brenda and Robin. We miss them.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
Tip it! All right.
To speak to the empathy question.
So, Patricia, yes, please.
I have an entire, like, stump speech that I go off about from time to time about how reading and empathy are tied together. Because when you read, especially first-person fiction, you have that insight into the thoughts and experiences and feelings of another person. Right? So if I read a story that's all about, I did this and I felt that,
yep.
And, you know, whatever it is. I'm reading one right now called Making Bombs for Hitler, which is
a light musical comedy.
It's a light musical comedy.
Springtime.
But it's first-person World War II fiction about... a young Ukrainian girl who was kidnapped from her home and sent to the Nazi work camps, and it's all very first person, right? So it describes how cold she is and how scared she is and how hungry she is and how, you know, all of these things are happening to her. So as you read the story and as you immerse yourself into a story like that, any kind of a first person story, be it nonfiction or fiction, you start to develop that empathy. You start to develop that. Yeah. What does this feel like? Because it's being described to you. Like, that empathy is being just handed to you in imagining and feeling and understanding the experience of another person. So I've been an avid reader since probably before I could walk. Like, I went to kindergarten as a reader. Like, I could read books independently before most kids knew their alphabet. So I think that's a large part of the reason that empathy comes... so easily to me, because it's been trained and ingrained in me from forever.
Yeah, and you do. You go into another world, another set of experiences.
Another person's experience and another person's thoughts and feelings and all of those things. So I really do believe that reading helps teach empathy.
It's the keys to any kingdom, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. And adults who read tend to be more compassionate, understanding, logically thinking, empathetic people. There it is. Buddy Early.
I just found my answer.
Top that.
What's the question?
No, but, I mean, when did you, like,
he doesn't have feelings.
That's true.
I kind of feel like that's my answer, but I want to know.
Yeah. Just when did
his answer going to be tomorrow.
When did you realize, like, what empathy was and how to utilize it? Like, how to...
You know, like, I do often joke with people about how I have no feelings, and it's true.
We know.
I mean, it's Adobe. Not, it's not tell. Just a joke.
And
my,
really,
and my close friends know that... You know, I don't. It.
We've talked about this before.
We have
too,
talked about this, and I know it. I kind of, sometimes I wear it as a badge of honor, and sometimes I'm like, why am I like that? Why don't I cry?
Well, Sheldon.
Anyway.
Unless it has to do with an animal.
But I have a regarding empathy.
Should I even make a jingle about it? I can sing something to you.
No feelings.
Oh,
no feelings.
Bitter.
She's got no
bitter.
Feelings.
Hey, it's Adobe. But I have an interesting, outlook on empathy, because I do have a background as a writer and actor. And so I have this detached sense of empathy, that it's sort of just an intellectual.
Well, it's not sympathy.
Thing.
You don't have to feel it with them, but
right.
You understand.
It's an understanding, not a sympathy.
Right.
It's like, I want to know what makes people tick, what makes people react the way they do. I want to be inside their head and... I want to experience it, but not because I want... God, I sound like a horrible person. But it's not because I want to have sympathy. It's just a natural curiosity.
Right, what does that feel like?
The world, and like, ooh, I want to walk in that person's shoes, maybe, and just kind of understand people's feelings. I can understand feelings. I just don't like to have them. Sure. So
that's a
whole
detached
thing. And how are you
going
to get anyone to react through your acting if you can't... you know,
yeah, I mean,
if you can't kind of it,
because it's a British style of acting.
It's European.
I just channel Helen
it's
Mirren
European.
As everything.
Yeah. You don't know, no, just
no. I'm saying
know,
when you're trying to.
Sir Laurence
it out,
Olivier
you know.
Said to Dustin the famous story of what he said to Dustin Hoffman, who stayed
try
up
acting.
For like 36 hours for Marathon Man. He's like, try acting. That's sort of my thing. Which I mean,
remember hearing that. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, like I said, it's just a detachment.
But you definitely need the empathy to be any kind of an actor.
Yeah,
improv,
right.
Because you have to buy into
the emotion.
That minute.
That whatever's happening. Oh, sure. But maybe it's just that I can step out of it like that.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's maybe my biggest flaw.
Oh, I have a list of flaws.
Yeah. Well, that's my biggest.
I didn't know we were going to rank them. That's a short amount of time.
Well, I didn't bring that notebook.
I care too much.
My biggest.
Oh, I have it on. I actually have it online. It's too big to carry around.
I can't watch The Voice because I have perfect pitch.
It's hard.
It's exactly why I can't go to the gym.
Yeah.
I don't want to show everybody else out.
You don't want to make people feel bad.
No. If I lift that thing over there, they'll all feel bad because they didn't lift it.
It's so
yeah,
awful.
Exactly.
I mean, it was a donut, but they're still going to feel bad that they didn't.
I already succeeded
at that.
Yeah,
so donuts. Long ago, but I succeeded at that. I don't need to do it again.
How late is Taco Bell open?
Yeah,
depends on what day of the week.
Yeah. It's just the worst.
Shut
news.
Up.
Could be midnight, could be one, could be two. Depends on the week of the night of the week.
Open late. They're very vague.
Open late.
I'm going
to
Google.
Go to Vegas 24 hours.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
The Vegas ones are open. Yeah. Later.
I'm not driving to Vegas for Taco Bell.
You don't need to.
Open later, yeah. I'm sure you're going to pass one open Taco Bell between here and Vegas.
I feel that could happen.
Just one.
So, yeah.
I'm hoping between here and home.
The one in Wickenburg, I think, is 24 hours.
Usually they're till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Because it's those people driving back and forth to Vegas.
That's exactly right.
Very good.
I got the one-armed bandit fever.
That's always been my directions to Vegas. Just go out Grand to Wickenburg and hang a
right. Wickenburg and go. Right.
When you see the light, right turn there.
The new turn. Style bullshit they've got now, where you avoid the city and you go around it.
Wickenburg? No, I haven't been in a car on the way to Vegas since before we went. We were still going over the dam the last time I went to Vegas. The overpass wasn't built yet, so it's
I'm not talking about the dam.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the city of Wickenburg.
No, there was no roundabout. You literally went to the light in Wickenburg and turned right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before you even get that, you literally cross the bridge. There's a river.
Yeah.
You pass the McDonald's and all that shit.
Uh-huh.
And then you immediately turn to the right, and they bypass the whole city. You go around it, and because all the tractor trailers and everything now has to
There's
go that way.
Well, that's no fun.
Well, yeah.
It's all different.
I mean, that's gonna,
you bypass the city.
That fucks up my directions.
They're going to need jobs like coal miners. All right. So go ahead. Your answer, besides Taco Bell.
I think that was.
I don't really know that I have an answer. The thing I followed up with what Kat said was, she said people who read are more empathetic. Adults who read are more understanding. I don't read. I read
that
what
explains
I,
everything.
I read what I have to, but I don't know. I actually don't know that I can. I don't know that I can answer that question. But then again, I'm not an introspective person as much as everybody else. Usually tells me how I am about things, but I don't sit and dwell or think about them. So I don't know when the fuck I figured out what empathy was. I mean, I do care about other people, and I get emotional, and I get that, but I don't know if I ever thought about it.
Can you think of like the first point where you thought about what it was like in their shoes? Right? Like that, gosh.
I can see why
this is his struggle, and this is where he's coming from, and this is, I feel like this is...
I haven't gotten there yet.
No, I'm going to say, I can't answer.
I think you guys are very similar.
I think, yeah.
I don't know that I've gotten there yet.
Read more books.
I don't know that you haven't, but you're far more of a pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just kind of figure it out and what the hell's going on.
I see you as more of a I figured it out, why can't you kind
correct.
Of.
Right,
no, that, and that is very much me, and it's my mother's, I think it's my mother's father that gives me that, because he was very much that way. Though he wanted an explanation, and he was all about understanding, and I'll listen to your point of view, but then at the end of the day, it was, why the hell can't you just get off your ass and go do it? Like,
right.
Get up and go do XYZ. And that's kind of how I've always been. And I guess probably similar to you, it comes off maybe as non-sympathetic or not caring. I am caring. I want you to get up and do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to sit around and maybe that is it. I get frustrated with people who can't or won't do things.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you can be empathetic and also be frustrated by people that are helpless for no reason.
Oh,
like
right,
I also cannot abide by people that can't do for themselves. Sharon sent me a link this week that was just a web form to sign a kid up for something. And I'm thinking the entire time, I hope she's gone to bed by now. I'm thinking the entire fucking time that I'm doing it, you have a smartphone and plenty of time in your day. Why the fuck aren't you doing this?
Most of this autofills.
You know what I mean? Sure. Yeah, like.
Sharon's on the phone. Hang on.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, but you know, and I don't mean to throw her under the bus, but anytime I'm like, well, like, why am I doing this for you, for anybody? I don't think that expecting people to do for themselves is related to empathy. I don't think that those are related things.
Maybe I'm wrong in what I'm saying, but I just don't feel that maybe, again, I sympathize with people. I feel bad for certain people or for certain things, but I guess I'm a little more, I'm not a softie. And Ernie will cry at the drop of a fucking hat for something.
Oh, and I'm emotional.
And because of menopause, yeah. I'm all over, like, a fucking, I don't care, those poor bears with Charmin bathroom tissue come on and somebody wipes the wrong way and I'm crying. Sure. Other than that, I don't have much.
Oh my God, I almost welled up because I thought you were talking about the bears
The difference of sympathy and empathy are so important. You're not sympathizing with someone because you don't feel what they're feeling.
Right.
You empathize. Like, I get where you're coming from.
Right.
I've also lost a pet. But I didn't lose that pet, and that pet wasn't walking me every day. I had my eyesight. That's the difference between sympathy and empathy.
I was going to say...
Like, you're not feeling the exact... Sympathy is if we were feeling the exact same thing. Like,
I'd been in the same shoes that you'd been through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But,
and I don't feel like that I have that with many people.
No, and very few do. Sympathy's a really hard thing to muster, because it has to be like, we both lost the same parent. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
it's got to be...
That's why it's so difficult when you... like sympathy cards. And
right, because you're not sympathetic.
Like,
you're
I'm horrible with those things. Yeah, I don't feel sympathy. I don't do that.
In the card, sympathy really means pity.
Yeah.
Right, like, let's be real. When you said somebody
really
a sympathy
sorry
card,
for
I
you.
Feel bad
and
for
that's
you.
That's
pity. That's not sympathy.
I've always admitted to people, I have said this for a long time, and maybe this is more of what you're getting at. I've always known I'm not the go-to guy when you're feeling down and I need to make you feel better. Right. Other than me making a crazy voice or doing something funny, that's all you're getting.
I'm not the person.
Wait, but that's on demand? Right. Just to be clear, that's on demand?
Oh, that's a button.
That's
I can call you and say, Clayton, I'm feeling down.
Elmo.
Do some impressions and you just move into it.
What's wrong, cat? The fuck is your problem?
That's and that'll buy you like that's, 5 minutes while they put down the razor. So
that's good to know.
Tell you, that's fantastic.
That's good information to have.
It is. It is. You could make money off that.
Sure, we'll get it right on.
I'm just saying,
Mr. Perkins. Yeah. When did you become an empathetic soul?
Well, tomorrow.
Any minute now.
I'm gonna say that your mother has something to do with this.
No, but it does have to do with loss a lot of times.
Okay, but I'm wrong.
And but no, there's two different things. Somebody misunderstanding with sympathy. Two things. Somebody misunderstanding sympathy really hit me kind of hard. But I had a friend in the 90s whose father died and was having a very rough time. And just couldn't find someone to talk to. And we were acquaintances at this particular period. Like, we knew each other. But she was just struggling. And I was like, you know, I've lost my father. We had a conversation about loss and grief and stuff like that. Not that I had any idea. Like, I couldn't sympathize. I don't know her relationship. She may have hated him. She may have loved him. There may have been things she didn't say. I don't know. But I can at least, like, I can talk you through what this might feel like, what some stages might be in this journey. And we ended up becoming close friends over that because people were just looking at her funny, like no one else had experienced the loss of a father and they didn't know what to say or how to have the conversation. And she was getting like blank stares or just sobbing. And it's like, it wasn't your father. Why are you crying so hard? You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And that was really when I understood, like, it's just a similar path. Okay. You know, the loss of something.
And you can sympathize with the situation.
Yeah, with the situation, but it's not the person. Mm-hmm. And then when my mother died, and I was having a really hard day, and a friend of mine actually compared the death of a cat to my mother's death. And I'm like, we're going to have to explain sympathy to you.
Yeah.
Because your relationship with your cat and my relationship to my mother are not this. You're not feeling what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You may be feeling hurt. You may be experiencing loss. It was a cat. That was my mom. Let's work on this and get back
Settle
together.
Settle down, Penelope.
When I dig you up from where I buried you, we'll talk again.
Sure.
So there's that disconnect that that you have to, and those times where you, and you know, I'm around grief all the time now, like,
right,
you know, 36 hours a week or more, I am around grief, and I have to be. I get what you're going through. I get how hard this is because I've watched so many people go through it. I've never been in this situation. I've never been in the deathbed of the hospital. I've never made choices like this about pulling plugs. but I can empathize with where you're coming from because I've seen it enough. And there's no, like, I know that to say there's no right answer. I know what I can say to make you feel a little bit better from the one of the authorities that you may think is involved. I'm not the authority in any way, but you may look at me, you know what I mean? So that really helps when you have to say to someone that you're making a difficult choice, you're in a tough situation, you're stuck with me in the room. Mm-hmm. I gotta get you through the next minute. Like, right. Because we're all going to live, like, you know what I mean?
But if you think about
that's where the empathy really comes in.
With our fields.
Yeah.
And the difference that's kind of that go back to.
Yeah.
Kind of thing where, and even hospitality, you know, going when you've been in there, that sometimes that's where you're listening or the.
And that's where the waitress and me can work it out. Like, okay, so the problem's with your burger. Let's work that out.
Fix this shit.
Yep. Your problem's not with the whole picture. It's just you don't like
just
this burger.
That.
We can fix this burger.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's just fix the one thing you're dwelling on. And if that makes it all go away, then that'll make it all go away.
Right.
Then we can all walk away happy.
Just put pickles on it and call it a day.
Or go to Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell.
And get those black beans with rice.
There you have it.
Eating feelings is a legitimate thing to do.
There you go.
It's fair.
Proud sponsor of Eatin' Feelings.
Oh, I can sympathize with that. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
My gosh, look what you've done.
That would be a sympathy thing.
You've wasted the better part of a Tuesday evening or Wednesday morning, depending on where you're listening.
Congratulations.
Enjoying you with
and
us.
And happy birthday, Nero.
Yes, happy birthday, Nero.
Oh, my God. Yep. I barely knew you were getting older.
That list is handy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at Al. Very handy with his list.
Right on top of that, Rose.
And Al's older, so he can empathize with you getting older.
Getting older.
As all of us can.
No, he's been there, so he's sympathizing.
That comes up more and more whether you want it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, watching these 30-year-old queens hit 40.
Once again, thank you, everybody. As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with a parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.